podcast. And in honor of the White Mamba, we're going to assign ourselves some unusual nicknames. I am artistically awesome Andrew, and I am joined by, bodaciously bombastic Ben. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm most bombastically great, thank you.
Good to hear. We hope everyone had a great Easter. Did you do anything special over Easter, Ben?
Sadly, no. I just enjoyed the quiet time and, just played PS3 and relaxed and ate as much as possible.
That sounds good to me. Cadbury cream eggs, by any chance?
No, Toblerones.
Toblerones?
Yeah.
That's still a good choice. I respect that.
Oh, yeah. How about yourself?
Nothing too out of the ordinary. I caught up with some friends and family over the break. Just took it easy and finished up a couple of projects, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the podcast. So a little bit of work, but on the whole, a relaxing weekend, 4-day weekend. You can never really go wrong with that.
Oh, no. Especially these tough times of working so hard.
Oh, yes. So as people have probably gathered by now from the intro, we are actually down a member this week. Leapin' Leftos. That can be nicknamed this week, Leapin' Leftos. He's actually not with us this week. He's got some business to attend to. He's not... Ben, I think you had the inside scoop on what happened to Leftos.
Yes. We'd like to inform you that we've gone from the trio to the duo after some technical difficulties, as Shell Oil has kidnapped and ransomed Leftos, who claimed that we couldn't do this podcast without him. Unfortunately, we can't afford the ransom fee, as I've just put down a deposit of $380 million for a penthouse in Monaco, and couldn't afford...
You too?
Sorry?
You too?
Yeah, it was just too hard to pass up.
Yeah, it's true.
And as an effect, we couldn't afford to pay the $1,500 ransom. To Leftos' parents and family, I'm sorry, we did all we could to get him back in one piece safely. We apologize for the potty parts that you'll get in the mail very soon.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. No, Leftos actually is alive and well. We haven't cut him up. We haven't done anything to him. It certainly wasn't us that demanding ransom. He's attending to some business and studies and whatnot at the moment. So we wish him all the best.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll have him back on the podcast soon. But we're going to have to do a good job, Ben, without him. So
the pressure is on us this week.
Well, the pressure's on not only to do a good podcast, but not so good that he doesn't want to come back, but good enough that we don't get mocked for it.
Yeah.
But yes, we are the dynamic duo this week, all Aussie Adventures, if you will. Don't know if you remember that one, Ben.
Yeah.
Russell, back in the day. We promised not to talk about the NBL at all. In fact, that will be the last mention of that particular league.
no two-hour rant.
No two-hour rant. We could if we wanted to, but we won't. But I kind of feel a bit like your Miami Heat at the moment when, we've lost our LeBron James. We're just Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh at the moment.
Yeah, both Wade and Bosh have been out. Wade and LeBron have been out for the last couple of games, so...
That's true, and they have won, but in any case, we will soldier on, and we'll make this a podcast worth listening to, and I know Leftos is planning on listening to this one, so hey, buddy, and don't leave us.
Yeah. Don't join the dark side.
Yeah, that's right. Going over to a Madden podcast or something. My Little Pony. We're going to find out he's a brony or something. Please, Leftos, you've done all this great work for the community. Just we can't handle that.
Please, Leftos, put down the Barbie game. There's no need to. Life is worth living still, we assure you.
Well, shall we get on with the show?
Yes, we shall.
Okay, so we're going to run down just a couple of community announcements and whatnot first, then we'll get into some news, and then everyone's favorite topic, we'll complain about things in the NBA. We won't talk about dunks. Actually, Leftos isn't here, so we can talk about dunks. Did you see all the dunks this week? They were very dunky.
Yes, they were dunkalicious.
I enjoyed the dunkiness of all of them. So, the news. Well, the big thing for me this week is I finally got the current rosters out for NBA Live 2005 And that, yes, thank you.
And no, that's not sarcastic clapping. I'm applauding that effort because that's an epic effort right there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I can't begin to describe how good that feels to have gotten those out. It's a long time coming, and a lot of things have gotten in the way. Procrastination, but certainly
always the case.
Yeah, the last enemy that should be defeated is procrastination at some point. But those are out. I'm very happy to do that. Very happy for all the support and all the patches that have provided so many great art updates. Really inspired me to get the job done because they've just made some great looking art updates, the jerseys, the faces, and everything. So I wanted to put some rosters out there so everyone can actually use those art updates properly. And hit me up if there's any issues with the rosters. I'll do my best to support them. As usual, there'll be at least a couple more updates for this season because of the delays in getting them all converted and putting them out. They are actually a few days out of date. March 31st is what the rosters are accurate as of, so there's been a couple of minor transactions since then. So there'll be a couple more updates before the season's out. As for next year, I can't commit to it now. I won't rule it out. I won't say I'm quitting now, but I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility that I may have to hand the rosters over to someone else or take on an apprentice or something to share the workload. But in the meantime, happy to have the rosters out and please enjoy them.
Is it safe to say that there'll be a better roster support than what 2K has done this year?
to be fair, they got a lot more rosters out before I did.
Well, let's put it this way, more accurate in that sense with the players that are on the teams and who should be there.
Let me just say that as of March 31st, all the players that were on teams and in the league are there, so I guess I've got that.
Well, you've already got the one up against 2K.
Spirit insider, yes. I should change my Twitter photo, actually. Yeah. Add some mystery there.
A Mr. X sort of style, or...
Yeah.
Or have, like, the cigar hoagie coming out of the mouth and all that.
the mystique of the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned for more updates, probably within the next couple of weeks, the end of the regular season or early on in the playoffs. Especially if Derrick Rose returns, I'll definitely have to do an update to put him back in the active lineup, you know. If not, who cares? Who cares about the NBA, really?
Yeah.
No. So that's done. That feels great. Can't begin to describe how good I feel to finally get that out of the way. So moving along. Back to NBA 2K 13. Redditor, speaking of rosters and whatnot, Redditor is coming out very soon by Vlad, the great roster editor that's going to allow us to do all kinds of wonderful things with the game. And Zhao Ming has already been doing tutorials. He's been playing around with the beta version, testing it for Vlad, and has actually put together tutorials already to how to do all the basics. So we're going to have these great resources ready to go as soon as we get it, which has been fantastic. And frankly, I don't know if you've seen some of his work, Ben, but Zhao Ming has really been killing it with the tutorials and the video content this year.
I'll have to check him out. I haven't really checked out much in the way of the
2K modding.
I will look into it, and you know, if it does come out on PC next year and NBA Live doesn't, I might look into it and just sort of see, you know, even have an attempt at it. I don't know. But definitely check out more and include some of the patches in the game and that if I do go down that road. But yeah, I'll definitely check out the video tutorials and all that. See how they look.
Yeah, he's again just done a fantastic job. So we do give a big thumbs up to John for it. And he's actually one of the best things he's done. He's done many great things. But one of the best things he's done for us. In the last few months, has put together a video tutorial on how to use our upload form in the download sections, which I feel is a pretty straightforward form. But admittedly, I'm the one who maintains that all, so I've seen it, and I had to. When you have to upload 2,000 files from the old database, you get pretty used to using the form. So I guess I'm more used to it than most. But certainly, having that tutorial there showing people how to use it and edit their own files has, I think, really encourage people to upload their files to the download section this year. And as I've mentioned before, we've already topped the total number of downloads for NBA 2K12 in just six and a half months or so.
It'll be the end of October. So really, I suppose it's early October when it came out, isn't it? So October, November, December, January, February, March, and just the start of April. Yeah, it's just start of 7 months or six, 7 months, yeah.
And we've already topped the total amount of downloads without the Reddits that are available, which is amazing. Amazing effort by our patching community, our modding community. So please keep it coming. And if you're having any problems, just click that big link at the top of the download section to pop up that video tutorial and see how it all works. I know what you mean, Ben, though. I've been meaning to get into the 2K modding a little bit,
yep.
And we'll give it a look when the Redditor comes out. Mainly, it's been trying to get these damn NBA Live things. But once those tools are all out, and again, not to discredit the work that Leftos has done, because his roster editor has been great for people working on the rosters, but as he himself has said, Vlad and Redditor have just... What he's done with it is just amazing.
Yeah.
So it was really going to help out. But the projects that I've been looking to do, I was thinking of doing like an NBA Jam style roster for 2K.
Oh, yeah? That'd be fun.
I think someone's already done it.
Oh, no.
And then I was thinking, well, I might do one of those Legends rosters, you know, where he's got all the best of the best.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And Gigabyte, one of the guys in the forum, I see he's already got a project like that going. So I need a new one. And we've also got a lot of great people, great current roster updates by talented individuals. So I need a new niche. I need a new angle. So let's see what happens when Redditor comes in.
Well, for me, one thing that sort of has put me off sort of creating patches for 2K is I'm not a fan of their jersey templates. Like, there's the design layout when you play it in a game, how it looks. For me, the color and neck system looks a little too weird. Things like the Mavs jerseys with the side paneling with the two sort of thin lines, they're like too far apart. And what else? The Detroit Pistons, the lines for the side paneling should go straight down, but on the shorts they like trapezoid out when they shouldn't. So little things like that, and just how it floats 2-3 inches off the player's shoulders and body, and that just doesn't look right for me in wanting to do that. The shape and the layout in NBA Live looked a lot better and a bit realistic, more realistic in that sense. But I will give 2K credit with the way the jerseys flow and all that stuff. They've improved that over the years, and it does look it does flow and.
Not so rubbery.
Yeah. It has more that realistic cloth texture and all that stuff to it. So yeah, that's just one thing I'll give him credit for. In that, one thing like when I was having my little thing about the 2K slam dunk contest thing. One again, I'll give him credit for the presentation style of the way the dunk contest was done. Like, from the way the camera angles, even the way the commentators talk during it.
Okay.
That was very impressive. I was really impressed with that. It felt a lot more to what you'd see during an actual All-Star game. So that was, again, a tick in their box that I give them for that. But just the whole mechanics in it, I just wasn't happy with the way... Yeah, for me, it was too many... triggers to try and get this one dunk, and I think there should be, you know, maybe 8 for button presses for an easy dunk, 10 or something for a medium level dunk, 12 something like that for a difficult dunk. That'd be a way I'd sort of look at doing it, you know, sort of set something like that as opposed to 30-40 button pushes to do one simple dunk.
Yeah. Would you go back to like the approach they had before was a little bit contrived with the stick movement and everything, but something like NBA Live did with the sort of the combinations of
and
trigger buttons?
I definitely prefer the Live system. For me, it felt, well, I will say user-friendly in that, and sort of you knew the control that you were going to get from it. You knew if you missed it, is because slight timing was off. I did always find, from memory, the doing it on the PC was a lot easier than on the console, like next-gen console. Like, I was able to get the timing of the dunks and that better. So I don't know if that was just a me thing or if anyone else had that sort of...
I had it as well. Yep. I found that the PC version, just sort of the way it slowed down, was a bit easier to
get the
combination. Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of the street, the blacktop mode for the dunk contests in previous NBA lives. Again, it was just...
A 2K?
Yeah, it was messy and chaotic and...
Yeah, no, I agree.
I didn't know what the hell to do. I was lucky to even get a dunk down, and it was the same when I did the new one. Like, I think I technically missed, when I was playing it and was actually able to try and have a go at it, I did kind of technically miss all my dunks, but one sort of hit the back of the rim and front of the rim and then went in. But it didn't count, so it was like a rim-rattling dunk sort of one. It wasn't a direct flush down, but it still got no points, so whether that...
Which is dumb, because it's not clean, so it should lose points, I guess.
Yeah, but it was still technically in the dunk action, so I don't know whether there was a fault in the mechanic, but the ball did go down in the net, so... So
totally worth the $5, as you've said before.
Oh, it's totally. I mean, the presentation, you know, that was... I'll give that was top-notch, like the way it was done, like for the commentary, the camera angles and all that stuff, and it sort of felt that energetic entertainment side of how it should and all that, but yeah, the mechanics, no.
The overall implementation, just what we need. Yeah. We talked about that. Have you actually tried a guitar controller with it at all? That'd be...
Like the Guitar Hero? No. I'm not a fan of that sort of genre.
That's what you need to do. Get a controller, borrow it, and just see, you know, just really play Guitar Dunk Hero. Just see if it works.
Oh, that'd be a fun way to do it. You know, party drunk games with that. And
yeah.
It's sort of like being the scene in the newsroom where Dev Patel's girlfriend is playing the Guitar Hero blindfolded and facing backwards against Jim Harper. And she's like turning, she like turns to the side and says, "Oh man, give up! You lost 10 minutes ago." So things like that. So yeah, it'd be interesting sort of battles like that if you could do with it. But yeah.
Yeah, we're not fans. If you haven't heard the previous podcast, by all means go back and listen to them.
Yes.
You'll find some very interesting rants on all these subjects. in a nutshell, we are not fans of that that approach to the dunk contest, or the fact that it was DLC/pre-order bonus content. Yep. Not the way to go. Should be more shoes and with realistic laces, as we've said so many times before. When will 2K learn?
I know.
When will they actually give us what we want? But anyway, moving right along, P-Dub, Patrick, posted a link in the forum not that long ago from when we were recording this about a new NBA project at EA Vancouver. That's about all the information there is. If you're in the area, you can actually register to be a playtester for this new concept that's going around. It's going around that they're working on. presumably you won't be able to say much about it.
Yep.
There'll be NDA non-disclosure agreements all over the place with that one. But naturally that opens up the floor for speculation. And Ben, what do you think?
They're saying a new project, so or new concept. Whether that means a new direction for NBA Jam or return of NBA Street, or a new IP in basically something like the Ball of Beats sort of style, but EA's interpretation of how it could be, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. We'll probably find out something in the coming months, I guess, probably just after E3. And whether it is something that will release this year or next, who knows? I'm pretty much safe to say it'll be this year. With NBA Jam being relatively quiet at the moment, like aside from a roster update that happened a few months ago, there's not been too much news on whether there'll be a new one.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe it could be even an NBA draft sort of little mini game sort of thing or something. I don't know. It'd be fun to sort of find out, and I hope it's fun and entertaining. But I hope I kind of miss an NBA Street, like a really good one, you know.
What was the last one you played?
I did buy Home Court.
I did too. Yeah.
There were some things that were right with that, but I think the older ones. I think Street 2 was a good, great one.
That's right here. I think I somehow missed that one.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot of people say that was the best one, or really, they really liked it at any rate.
Yeah. Number one wasn't too bad. You know, just something that has a few variations in game modes. I did like with Home Court. There was sort of like the kind of almost like a story element to it, but and yes, I will say it. You could unlock all the Jordans.
Yep.
being the sneakerhead that I am, so yes, I'm.
Pay attention, 2K.
Yes, I am a Jordan collector. I have had over 40 pairs of Air Jordans in my lifetime, and I'm interested to see what it would be, and it'd be a great if there wasn't like a new NBA Street, but hopefully a lot more elements added to it as well, especially with next gen coming out this year. So
absolutely
more to it.
Well, one problem with Home Court was it fell victim to a lot of the same problems that we've seen in arcade basketball games over the years, which is after a while the gameplay is just very repetitive.
Yeah.
You know, push, knock him down, get the ball, run up, dunk, or take a three.
Yeah.
Wash, rinse, and repeat. And that was the great thing about NBA Jam on Fire Edition.
Yeah.
With the real AI, how it adapted and changed the experience and adapted to your game and everything. So, considering they've got that real AI tech, if they put that into a new street game, you could have that street culture, but with that really good experience of NBA Jam on Fire Edition.
Exactly.
And I agree with you. It seems unlikely that it's going to be a new Jam game. I think they're going to keep supporting on Fire Edition for a while.
Yeah.
Because they've got the ability to update it, obviously. So unless they can do something really revolutionary with that. I mean, I'd be all for it. I love NBA Jam. NBA Jam is right up there, one of my favorite franchises, right behind NBA Live and NBA 2K. That's what I like for my sim experience, but I've always enjoyed the Jam experience as a change of pace as well. And in fact, I did my top five favorite basketball games.
I read that. That was a good read.
Oh, thank you. And NBA Jam on Fire Edition is actually on there at number five, and it really is one of my favorites because I do like it as an arcade game, as a change of pace from the sim experience. But, yeah, I'm not sure they'll actually do a new one. Street is probably more likely, but the thing that throws me is when it says new project.
Yeah,
I mean,
or new concept, yeah. So
a new concept, and you're sort of wondering, well, the other concepts have been done. Is it just referring to a new twist on the old concept, or is something new, like you said, Baller Beats, their interpretation of that, or some other kind of NBA licensed game? I suppose
a free to play game, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah,
it could be something along the lines of that.
Well, they've got the NBA license to do multiple projects if they wish. And presumably they are returning with NBA Live 14. Hasn't been
confirmed,
as we've said before.
Or denied.
or denied, and that's the thing. And it seems likely they're going to return this year. The announcement by Andrew Wilson last year when they cancelled NBA Live 13 seemed to suggest a return this coming year. So it is probably likely. But yeah, certainly seems that they are working on something else. And we'll certainly cover it as more information comes out. But as you said, Ben, probably not going to hear a lot just yet. Everything's going to be under NDA, and perhaps around E3 they'll unveil something cool.
Yeah. I did have something because I got distracted by what I was watching on the TV. oh, look, a blue dog or a puffy tail, a dog with a puffy tail.
Wow, a blue car.
Yeah.
I'm not easily impressed.
No. For those who were confused by that, I was watching my rugby league team win against its crosstown rivals, so I was happy about that. So that's what I got distracted by for those listening in. And Yeah, it'd be
an NBL team. Oh, there's another reference. Sorry, Leopard.
But it'd be I don't know. I'm intrigued to see what they do, and yeah.
Well, I'm all for a variety of games. I mean, it's nice to have the NBA Live and NBA 2K games coming out every year, doing something new with the sim experience. But people using the NBA license in other ways. I know that who did NBA Unrivaled on the a few years back? Was that Tecmo? Was it
or Konami or Tecmo? Yeah, something.
I think, yeah.
Or Tecmo Bowl, it was that sort of style. It may have been Konami, and there was another company that was getting into the license, wasn't there? But nothing came from it in the end, from memory.
I remember the other game that had the NBA license was whoever does Baller Beats, the name escapes me at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I haven't played Baller Beats. I have an Xbox 360. I have not invested in the Kinect. I'm not really interested in motion games, to be honest with you. I mean, people seem to enjoy it. I remember that Penny Arcade, when it came out, the great webcomic Penny Arcade. Not that I should have to explain that to anyone listening, I'm sure. But they did a little strip about it where Tycho gets it and he's carrying it in, and Gabe says, so I'm like, oh, what, you bought NBA Baller Beats? And he goes, oh, I bought it ironically. And then he's just revealing, oh, yeah, I'm bouncing the ball. And the last panel is like, wait, you're enjoying this. That's not ironic. That's not irony. That's the only one. It's not a game for me, but I'm all for companies throwing their hat in the ring and trying something different. And we do focus on NBA Live, NBA 2K, and NBA Jam, and Street when it does come out over the years. But we'll give a bit of attention to anything else that comes along. So
actually, I did remember the two things I was going to mention before I was distracted by the puffy tail dog or a blue car.
It's the worst name for a rugby team, is too. The puffy tail dog.
All right, first one was, would you like to see an alternative release between an NBA Jam and an NBA Street game? So, say one year it's an NBA Jam, and then the following year it's like an NBA Street title or something, or even if it's like 2 years between each release. So that way, you know, it gives a little bit of a variance between the two, and that way the games don't have to be rushed if it is by the same developers and that. So, I don't know, just a concept, I just thought, you know, would that be a good way of doing it, so that way you still get that bit of variety.
Yeah, I don't know whether they can. Well, certainly I don't think that those games should release every year.
No,
because it's not quite like NBA Live and NBA 2K, where you're playing the real season every single season, and that's what you're into. If you release the Jam or Street and then just do roster updates, perhaps, I think that's sufficient. So certainly the on-off, the alternating schedule, I think that's a good idea. I don't know whether they could do it every single year, though. I think it would sort of have to be alternating like two games every 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think that's a game. So you can get away with the sim titles, you can get away with a yearly release, even though people say, oh, it's just a roster update. But there's usually something else that they can build upon, and people want that roster update for the game. They still buy the game every year.
Yeah.
For a game like Jam and Street, I think there needs to be a bit more innovation, so you need a couple of years in between.
Yeah, I agree on that. Like, I think if it's every second year sort of thing, or that a new... We'll go third, so that way you have the 2 years off, and then the next one comes in. So, yeah, so that way it works. The other thing I was... For when you said the five games and all that stuff... My one was Total NBA 96. I remember owning that on PS1, and when I bought that, I was looking at the, you know, back on the day when you used to look at the back cover and all that, sort of get it, and it had the couple of little thumbnail pictures of what you basically could expect to see in this game and that, and then seeing things for a 96 game to have reflections on the court, some decent actual dunk animations and all that for a 96 game. You know, there was the gloss and the lighting effect and all that was one of the big sort of standout points for me, and that I was like, wow, okay, this is looking pretty good. And I remember just the other week I was looking actually on some footage for it, just to sort of, because it had always sort of been in my head about it, and so I was like, let's see if what I remembered did live up to that sort of thing. So I looked at some footage on YouTube, and I was like, wow, this is actually quite impressive in a lot of ways. There were some of the animations, like with the running and sure, that weren't great.
1996, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But some of those dunk animations are fantastic and could have even stood up to NBA Live 09 times or 08 times on PC and all that, and PS2 and all that stuff. So, I think that game had some things that were ahead of its time. And when I was listening to this or watching this clip, and just hearing hearing some of the intro music and all that, brought back memories of it straight away. I was like, holy crap, this is cool. So it had some iconic sounds and the layout and all that stuff, and it was like, I remember this exactly how it was. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I get the same feeling when I go back and do stuff. And I've been for a while now, and especially now that I've finished the rosters, I've been thinking of doing a bit of a retrospective and going back and playing some old games, doing some retro reviews and whatnot.
Yep.
And I've gone back sometimes to grab screenshots like of NBA Live 96 and such for the Friday Fives and played a little bit of them. And it's funny how some of them hold up, or certainly you can remember, well, this was pretty good for the time. I mean, don't get me wrong, NBA Live 96 does not compare to NBA 2K13 in a lot of ways. But you can appreciate it. Some of them don't. Sort of around the Nintendo 64 era, especially because that was the turn of or the real introduction of 3D models.
Yeah.
They look pretty good for the time, but now they certainly look dated. And sort of early 2000s, sometimes some of the models you can see, we thought this was good, or the animations we saw we thought this was cutting edge, and it was back then. But some eras do hold up a little bit better, or maybe that's just the nostalgia filter talking. I'm not sure, but I know exactly what you mean. I never played that because I had a Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 at the time, so I didn't actually have the PS1. But did that have commentary
It had actually commentary in it. It had obviously there wasn't much of a disk space allowance for a lot of commentary in that, but it was there. There was a few little blank spots and quiet spots when it wasn't running in that. But
which NBA Live didn't have at the time. No. It didn't bring in the running commentary till the real proper running commentary till about NBA Live 2000, I think. I mean, 98 and 99 had a bit, Don Poyer. But
I'll send you that YouTube link, and that way you can sort of see. I think you might actually be surprised taking for a 95-96 game, you know, given that it was started development in 95 and was probably released around October, November of 95. So, yeah, I'll show you it.
It's funny how a lot of games do one or two things very well.
Yeah.
And that's again, why I'd like to have a variety of games on the market just to try out and say, well, you know what, this company's actually doing this really well.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the footage of NBA Live 13 didn't exactly impress. That much we've discussed before, the leaked footage of the early beta or alpha build, whichever it was, the very early footage. But the thing that they'd obviously done very well was the presentation. The ESPN presentation was spot on. So, say NBA Live 13 had come out and been a decent game or still inferior to NBA 2K13, it still looks like... From just that leaked footage, it looked like the presentation would have been fantastic.
Yeah. And again, I know NBA Live's copped a lot of criticism and they've held back on releases. And seeing like the MLB series, like that, again, it's the 2K one. I might be light on that, but from that game that I've seen for the last so many years, it's had some huge flaws and it's like. But that one still gets released, so I don't know. The criticism and all that, is it just people hating on EA too much and want to try and embarrass them, da-da-da?
I think they do definitely have a reputation at this point. It's become very popular to hate on EA. And, you know, not to pile unfairly on them myself, but they probably have done some things in the past that that's earned some of the scorn. But to their credit, they often say, you know, look, we have messed up in the past. We want to make it better.
Yeah.
I know Jasmine John has raised the point before that it's kind of weird how they bury their own game at times. And I see where he's coming from. It is. But at the same time, I also like that honesty.
Yeah.
To say, you know, we have messed up. But no, I know what you mean. It's at some point, it's become very fashionable to rip on EA to the point where are people actually going to give them a chance. But, you know, as we've said before, all they need to do is come out with a great game, and there's no better way to silence the critics than to produce.
One other thing, that NBA Baller Beats, I was actually writing up a development or concept development for a game sort of in a way similar to that, but mine was more designed for smartphones, tablets, and yeah, a Kinect or the iToy sort of versions and all that stuff. So, and then in a few months after started writing this this concept idea for this game and that, to see this Baller Beats, and I'm like, okay, let's see where this is going. And I don't know, it doesn't look as especially from the ad, we're just seeing this guy just basically do like minor dribbles and all that stuff, like really basic dribbling, like it was dribbling 101 sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, no, I think my idea was a little bit more fleshed out. Actually, I'll send you the document that I've written up on it and the sort of angle that I was going for it. So, yeah. And, yeah, I'll get your thoughts on that maybe in private first. So just sort of...
Sure, yeah.
Sort of see would it have been a cool idea. And I haven't actually looked at the document in probably about... When did I start writing it? It had been nearly a year ago or something when I started writing it from memory. I'll send you it and tell me what you think.
Right on, yeah.
And there was a purpose behind it, and there was some influence on it from an ad in the 2000s. That was sort of the direction that I was sort of wanted, the influence that I was taking from that. It was like, it was an iconic ad.
Was that the Nike ad that?
Yes.
All the dribbling and everything. They parodied it in Scary Movie 2.
Yes.
As I recall, yeah, that one. Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, that was.
It didn't end with a pothead getting hit in the groin with a.
No.
Shorty.
There wasn't any of that, but it probably could have happened if you were doing like the Kinect version. You know, this time you dribble and. But yeah, there was a bit more to the idea, and again, I'll show you in, you know. Wants to show you, we can talk about it and even make mention of it next week on the podcast or something like that, whether it'd been a cool idea or not. So yeah. I'll let it go through the private scrutiny first and then bring it out publicly if it's worth it.
It needs more basketballs hitting people in the groin.
Yeah.
Not enough pain in this game. It just
a shoe up.
We have the technology, yes. You know.
A shoe update. Needs 60 new pairs of shoes to meet customer satisfaction.
Colors of shoes are wrong.
Yes.
Game sucks. Just...
They dribbled wrong. They double dribbled. Things like that. So, yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that just about wraps up the community and basketball news. Or did you have something about NBA 2K13 you wanted to...
Oh, yes. Well, 3 nights ago now, I had probably 4 by the time this gets put on the website. I'd started an association mode in 2K13, but I wanted to go a slightly different approach. Like, I haven't really seen too many other people's, or hadn't really seen many association modes in the forums and all that stuff. So I don't know what theirs is like, but. I decided I'd do what I thought was something a little different, a little twist on it, was having sort of bringing in players from my favorite, or my all-time favorite players from the Miami Heat. So it was sort of like a historical team sort of association. So I got my boy Eddie Jones. Obviously,
oh, yes.
He's in the 96-97 Lakers roster. So I, who did I drop? I either dropped Dexter Pittman or traded Dexter Pittman or Harrelson or whatever his name was. Dropped him or traded him for Eddie Jones and that. I am looking at bringing in Zoe because I do need an extra big man. And I was talking to Will yesterday in the car because we were coming back from basketball game and that we had, and Will Sit, I should say, and we'll come back from a basketball game. And I did mention, you know, this sort of nostalgia sort of style association. And, you know, he said, oh, would you bring in Shaq or even because the Miami Heat did retire Jordan's jersey? Would I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would I consider bringing him in? Because I, because for me, Eddie Jones still is a person I see wearing the number 6 for Miami Heat. So I was going to try and change him over to number 6, have LeBron go back to his 23, but because that number's been retired, you can't actually select it.
All right.
So yeah. I was like,
45.
Yeah, well, there's an option there. So at the moment, LeBron's got his number 6, Eddie Jones has got his number 25, which is rookie number when he started in LA. For me, like I mean, I normally wear jersey number 6. So and when I was in high school, there was like a season where my team didn't even have a jersey number 6, so my backup number was number 9. So I got Rashard Lewis to wear number 7, which was his number back in Seattle, and I took number 9. So yeah, doing things like that and bringing in those sort of classic players and all that stuff. And it's not an attempt to try and go out and cheat. It's just a homage sort of team, paying respect to those classics and all that, you know.
Well, it's what you enjoy.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Who cares what anyone else says?
Yeah.
Because it's your game and you enjoy it how you want. But I think it has been, a few people have kind of done it over the years, and certainly with the Ultimate Base roster, I think people are doing a lot of historical ones and mixing and matching perhaps. But yeah, I don't think it's been done all that often. With my NBA Live 06 Dynasty, yep, I brought Sean Kemp back just to be my starting center. And in the second year that I'm almost finished, I have to pick that up again now that the rosters are done, just to finish that out and get it back into the Hall of Fame, retire it again. But yeah, I brought him out of retirement and just dropped his ratings down because he's obviously approaching 40.
Yep.
So, but he did okay for me and it was fun. And I've sort of been able to do the thing where he quote-unquote mentored Tyson Chandler, with Chandler coming off the bench in the first year and Kemp being the starting center. And then in the second year, Chandler, I found, has played better, so he's the and has improved, so he's the starting center. Because we're talking about 2006 rosters that I originally started with many years ago. And, of course, Ben Gordon, who I got to score 92 points in a game with, and got a quadruple-double that game.
Oh,
so
awesome.
In my dynasty, Ben Gordon is pretty much the greatest player to ever play the game. Didn't quite turn out that way in real life, unfortunately. But I tell you what, at a cheap price, I'd get him back on the bench for the Bulls for some scoring. But perhaps not for the $10 million a year that he's getting at the moment. But if there's to be a reunion at some point on the cheap, yeah, bring him back. but yeah, he's certainly performing a little bit better in my virtual world. But yeah, that kind of stuff's fun. I like doing little twists like that or putting oneself in a dynasty or association.
Yep.
And I was about to say, and playing with yourself.
that would turn out a bit wrong.
But we've done too much innuendo in the podcast, yep. So let's keep it clean, you know, not like the filthy mouth Leftos. Leftos of his playing with balls and whatnot. sorry, Leftos, you're not here, so enjoy. and please come back.
Don't leave us.
Don't leave us, yeah. Because we will talk about Australian things for 2 hours.
don't make us do it.
That's right. So, yeah, was there anything else?
There kind of was, but I don't think it's too important. Yeah.
Must have been a lot.
Yeah, it's slipped away. I've turned the TV off, so I'm not distracted by the dog or the car.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, if we're done with the virtual hoops, shall we move along to the world of the real NBA players?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Well, I sent a message to you and left us on Facebook last week saying I was going to be unbearable on the podcast this week. I've kept my smugness in check, but the Heat's winning streak ended at 27.
Yep.
By a team that I quite like, actually, the Chicago Bulls. And it was, for those who didn't miss the game, you missed a great, great game.
It was a heart racing game. It was like, who's going to win? Even in the dying seconds, like when the inbound pass or whatever, you know, it could still open up a possibility. So it was like, until that final whistle blew, it was like you didn't know how it was going to turn out exactly.
I didn't get too excited until that final buzzer rang, yeah. And Mike Breen brought it up and said that the term playoff atmosphere is thrown around a lot, but it definitely did apply.
Oh, yeah.
And I, of course, I was naturally very happy that it was my favorite team that was able to put the such a historic streak, because that puts you in the history books as well.
Yes.
And let's face it, the Bulls haven't made a lot of history this year, so any feather in their cap is fine by me. But the fact that it came in such a competitive game and it's such a great game to watch, and with so many key Bulls out of the lineup, I was I picked the Heat to win in the daily predictions.
Yeah, I did too.
Therefore jinxing them naturally. And I remember last podcast I was joking about it, but I did think the Heat were going to win. I mean, that's what conventional wisdom said. Bulls, even at home. Well, they haven't been so good this year. Usually they're much better at home than on the road, but it's been about even this year. With they've been a very up and down team. I mean, just the other day they lost to the Wizards.
Yeah.
And then beat the Nets today. So you don't know what to expect from the Bulls as they're dealing with all these injuries. Sometimes people step up and that's fun to see, but other times it shows that they are lacking. But yeah, I was very happy to see it. I am keeping the smugness to a minimum. But, I mean, and also, of course, you've got to give it up for the Heat. I mean, 27 off.
Yeah,
20 in a row, what losers. Oh, look at Andy.
I know, right? Like, I was expecting, like, a torrent of trolls and all that stuff. You know, oh, the Heat, da-da-da, losing, and, oh, they suck, you know, all that kind of sort of bandwagon sort of thing. But in the end of the day, just 27 straight wins, you go out and do that. Come on. That's all I'm going to say.
When you've gone over a quarter of a season undefeated, I mean, eventually all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
But, you can't really... I mean, it's absolutely great for the Bulls. It was a great win for them. But, yeah, meanwhile, the other team still won 27 in a row. So, absolutely give it up for the Heat. But, I was very pleased with that result. And then the Bulls went on to beat the Pistons. Sorry, Leftos. Once again, the Bulls did that by the skin of their teeth with the Pistons throwing it away in the fourth quarter. But I'll take it, to be honest. The way this season's gone and with Rose possibly missing the whole year, I'll take any win we can get. So,
which game was it that the Bulls played against where Carlos Boozer auditioned for the Nutcracker?
Was that the against the Jazz?
I think so. I have to check the video again, but yeah. He's swinging arm. Poor ref.
That was he got the shot in that we all referee at some point. But don't deny it.
Yeah.
I'm listening, you know. But that's a nice change. You pointed out to me that about Boozer, you know, yelling the and one. Now he's also got the and one with the groin punch.
Or
so,
and none, or without one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's reliable as Dwayne Wade falling down after a layup. It's just something. You know, Michael Jordan had the tongue.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant hisses like a snake, which is weird. Dwayne Wade falls down. Carlos Boozer always wants a foul, and now also hits referees in the love spots. But
it's like you gotta feel bad for that ref. I mean. Yeah, be on YouTube for that. Pretty low blow. No pun intended.
That that beats Joey Crawford's dance down the court after. The Crawfords, I tell you, they're not related, obviously. But, yeah, they clearly the most animated referees in the league.
Do you reckon he was in, like, if he would attend that kind of thing, would you want to intend to do it to Joey Crawford? Because he does have that sort of reputation for those weird calls and some way to incite revenge.
I think a lot of players would love to have done it. I'm sure that Mr. Boozer got a lot of DMs on Twitter that night.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Took one for the team.
That's right. I thought the league was going to overreact to it and do a suspension and hand out a suspension, but clearly he was just celebrating.
He's
just
over-exuberant self.
Just turned around. Unfortunately, the referee was right there, and Mr. Crawford took the shot. So, but yeah, as you said, YouTube sensation, millions of views, millions of hits. So, but you know, let's say there's no such thing as bad publicity. So, although speaking of referees getting bad publicity,
the Lakers footage, that conspiracy.
Yeah, that's been getting some traction lately.
Oh yeah.
As a video has highlighted several, shall we say, questionable calls. I mean, that's being very generous.
Oh, indeed.
Downright stupid and blatantly terrible calls would be more appropriate, but let's just say questionable. You know, I'll edit that out. No, I won't. But perhaps one of the most blatant was Kobe's block on, or at least, did he get much of the ball at all? Or he certainly
probably like a fingertip. Maybe two, like, fingertips, like his ring finger and pinky finger was probably all that touched the ball. But he definitely got mainly all forearm.
Yeah.
Ricky Rubio.
Potentially game-tying three, which would have ended in free throws. Now, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean Rubio would have hit all the free throws. But it was still a bad call that potentially lost the game.
Yeah.
Decided the outcome of the game.
And it, like, considering in that previous sort of play in this clip that you see, you know, Kobe jacks up a shot, doesn't even get touched, and he's jumping up and down, having a hissy fit, and yet he gets the foul call on a buzzer beating sort of play, and it's like, what the hell?
Kobe's quote was, you know, oh, you don't call that bleep.
Yes.
you don't call it unless it's on you, and I, to be fair to Kobe, what else is he supposed to say in that situation? Like, oh, I totally fouled him. We should have lost the game. I understand that, but it's kind of like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, he could have addressed that. The cockiness, it just, you know, it's why people don't like Kobe, I think. You know, the cockiness rubs people the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you're like, well, it seems like every shot Kobe misses, he's glaring down the referee, doing the whole arm-slapping thing. And for him to then say, you don't call that stuff, it's like, well, you know, tongue-in-cheek maybe, but yeah.
Set a standard, not a double standard.
Yeah. It's when he complains, should have just, you know, grinned and said next question or something. I think that would have been a cute thing. I would have paid that. I would have said, yeah. Actually, Michael Jordan had won in the first round of '95 playoffs against the Hornets back in the day. And supposedly fouled Hersey Hawkins on a shot. And then they said, did you do it? And he sort of sarcastically said, oh, yeah, I got his whole arm. You know, and I guess I'm biased being a Michael Jordan fan, but I found that's a better tongue-in-cheek response, whereas Kobe's kind of like justifying it, and which is, you can't justify it when you're jumping up and down on a touch foul. But it was disappointing, and people have said, and I hate this argument, that, oh, they don't want to end the game in free throws. But plenty of games have in the past, for a start. And second, when it's the right call to make, make the call.
Agreed. That's like with, I have a lot of frustration with refs not calling a 3 second in the key violation. Like, I hand the refs for it because it's essentially a rule. And a lot of refs will argue, oh, if you keep arguing about it, I'm not going to call it. But you have to call it. It's a rule. It's part of the game. It's there for a reason. Yeah, the rule might suck in some way, but it's a rule there for a purpose. So people aren't spending 10 seconds in the key just sort of standing there,
camping in the lane.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's there to make the defensive work a little bit easier. But yeah, they have, or there are excuses. Oh, if you know, if you play defense, I'll call it. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm playing defense. I'm holding my ground, trying to keep a defensive player out of the key and doing my job. And why aren't you doing your job by enforcing it?
That's the rule. You're the official. You're the official. You're there to call and enforce the rules. Make the calls.
Yeah.
Do your job. I mean that's and certainly when in the professional leagues, in the NBA, the biggest professional league, the cream of the crop, as we so often consider it to be, you want them to get the call right.
Yep.
And I know there's going to be superstar calls, and I'm not going to pretend that Michael Jordan never got a call, or that no other superstar gets a call. I know we hate on the Lakers some, because none of us on the panel are Lakers fans. But, yeah, it just... You hate to see it. And I don't buy into the conspiracy theory. I don't like conspiracy theories because the most logical explanations are much simpler and more likely. I don't think the league has handed down a directive that says, okay, the Lakers must get in the playoffs, so make these calls, screw the other teams over. I don't think it's coming down like that. I think it's mostly just the usual calls the Lakers always would have gotten, even if they're up 20 points or whatever. But so I don't buy into the conspiracies, but you see some of the things that have been going on, and you think...
You have to start questioning things.
You see where the conspiracy nuts are coming from,
yeah.
Unfortunately. And it does call it into question, and it doesn't do anything for the integrity of the game, especially because the NBA is so protective of the referees, doesn't really disclose when they've been punished or how they've been punished, compared to players who would always announce, oh, we've been fined $25,000 for criticizing the officials.
Yeah. Or for saying something on Twitter.
For not doing their job properly. And the league has taken to apologizing for bad calls, and they did apologize for that call and say it was wrong, but what good does it do? I mean, it hasn't changed the culture. The bad calls are still coming, and it obviously doesn't change the outcome of the game. So... It's nice that they're acknowledging the mistake, but at the same time, sometimes you wish they wouldn't, because it doesn't. They can't really do a good job. There's nothing really they can do there that makes them look good. The only thing they can do is improve the officials and hold them accountable. But that was bad. It really was. And the video is definitely worth checking out. I'm sure if you're a Lakers fan, well, actually no, a lot of Lakers fans have been saying, I've seen they said, you know what, we kind of got away with that one. So some of the fanboys might be a little less likely to admit it, but yeah.
those diehards.
It's the most disheartening video to watch if you're an NBA fan since the Lakers-Kings expose videos on YouTube. Have you seen those, Ben?
No.
The ones that look at the controversy from the 2002...
Oh, I've heard about them, but I hadn't actually seen it, so I'll have to check that out. Because I think that was one of the things that was sort of highlighted in from when I saw the footage of that, you know, just sort of like a little blurb about it was making mentioning of that series and all that stuff. So I'll definitely check it out. Was it 2002 or 2001?
2002.
Okay. So yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Some things to do that I could actually have time probably this week to do it since I was busy last week. So yeah.
Say it's unfortunate because I do love basketball and love the NBA, but there are some things you see that as a fan you're like, eh.
Yeah. You don't want to see it rigged. Like, was it the Italian soccer league or something like that a few years ago where so many teams were match fixing and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And basically the entire league was corrupt or something like that.
Yeah. The only thing that should be fixed is pro wrestling. So
that's real, man. That's real.
Still real to me. Yeah,
that's been real since 1985.
So definitely check out those videos. And as far as the Lakers go, there are they in the playoffs at the moment? I think
they just got back into the eighth seed.
Jazz dropped a game to the Nuggets,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's an interesting race. It looks like the Mavericks are about out. They lost to the Lakers, which I think's pretty much killed their chances. It's given the Lakers the advantage in the season series over the Mavericks. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker, the Mavericks are stuffed.
Damn.
But So the Jazz, it looks like. If you're going for the Lakers to miss the playoffs, you know, go Jazz. That's the chance you want at the moment. And if you're going for the Lakers, the Jazz are your only, probably your only real threat at the moment. For the moment. I don't think the Mavericks have been mathematically eliminated, but it really is going to take a collapse and a big final run from them to actually do it. So I think they're probably going to even fall short of 500 at this point. I think they're 36 and 39 at the time of recording.
The Mavs?
The Mavs, yeah.
I'll just check.
The beards clearly have not worked.
Dallas, 36 and 39.
Yeah.
So they're at 48%.
So they, I'd say, out of the race, but the Jazz still in there. And who have they got tomorrow? The Jazz. I posted my predictions in the forum not that long ago.
Let's see, we got Lakers, New Orleans.
New Orleans, and they're at home, aren't they? They're in Utah, so they've got a good chance of winning that one.
And Memphis and Lakers. Ooh, Memphis, they've been doing well, so let's hope they continue it.
I picked Memphis, and we'll see how that turns out, that pick. The Lakers have been a very hard team for the predictions thread this year because they'll go on a run and win a few and get back over 500, and then they'll just drop another five or six in a row and drop out of it. So we'll see, but they look, you know, right now I'd say they're getting in.
Yep.
I think.
And I'm just seeing, too, that LeBron James, Wade, Chalmers, and Ray Allen might sit out for the Heat game.
That's fantastic. That game's televised here tomorrow, actually, on ESPN Australia, the first game of the doubleheader, so that's going to be a really exciting one to watch.
See who... Heat are playing Charlotte, so that'll be why.
Yeah. I think I'll edit the podcast during that...
other news is Cuban said he might drop Brittany Griner.
Yeah, I think that's a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
It's very... I want to phrase it in a way that's not sexist. And over the years, there may have been a couple of ladies who could have played, a couple of women who could have played in the NBA, but I don't know. I mean, if anything else, I think perhaps the boys' club mentality of the sport might do it. Even if a female a player was capable of holding their own, you know, would they actually be accepted, or you know, would there be too much sexism within the league?
Yeah, I want to take into account, so like within the locker room, you know, for the showers and all that stuff, would they have to have her in a designated area, so for her own privacy and all that stuff, and the other guy's privacy, of course.
Which becomes, and then is she going to become a gimmick?
Yeah,
you know,
for the bearded lady in a circus sideshow, which it would. Well, I'm not trying to make this like seem bad or like in trying to put it on that way, but I'm hoping she doesn't. She wouldn't become that kind of circumstance. That was probably the... Because I don't want to see that. Like, if it's just to get ticket people just through the door, then just for the sort of freak show carnival sort of look, then that ruins it for me. Like, if she's going to be there on for real purpose because she could actually compete with the guys, I'm all for that. But if it's that circus show freak sort of mentality just to get people through the gates, then no. I hate the gimmick side of it. I want it to be there on real terms, not the sideshow.
Yeah. And what it actually brings to mind is the Futurama episode, A Leela of Her Own, where
And
she's just basically there.
Just there to knock people out and just...
beat people on the pitches, yeah. You think that's probably going to be... I don't know. I mean, it also brings to mind the question. Well, you can't exactly let men play in the WNBA. I don't know.
Would it be a double standard sort of thing? Although, I mean, yeah, it'd be an interesting experience. I mean, there's that high school is a high school girl that's been playing football, like NFL football, and apparently, like, she played all this year. But apparently, because the school's overall competition managers and all that stuff didn't realize it was a girl. Yeah. They've really enforced the laws for next year that she wouldn't be able to play, but there's been petitions and all that out for people to... for this rule to be overwritten. And I think from memory, Ellen DeGeneres has actually just signed that. But yeah, you know, she was apparently playing well. You know, it wasn't that sideshow sort of thing. So again, if it's done genuinely with intent that this person can actually perform and compete and not be that definitely let her. You know, it would be a great thing. I mean, not so long ago, everyone was dissing the WNBA because it's all layups. Like even the Snoo episode of Futurama.
Oh yes, you know, fundamentals.
Yeah, good fundamentals. But you know,
no dunk. Good fundamentals.
Yeah,
is much better than the mid. Oh, you're killing me. Yeah. Oh, you're killing me.
we've seen some dunks, obviously from Brittany Griner, and also we're seeing,
and they're still world class athletes. You know, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, and
you know, you're there playing athletics at a high level in college, and then to go professional. I mean, you are a fantastic athlete. I played basketball growing up competitively in the local league, but you know, I'll put me up against a Lauren Jackson or someone, and they're probably going to school me. they are professional athletes.
Yep.
And she's also taller than me by a couple of inches. So, but I don't know. You can't shake the idea that it would be a bit of a gimmick or something for the fans. But that's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen. I think I'm guessing if she's going pro, she's going to the WNBA.
Yeah, she'll definitely be a number one pick. So Liz Cambridge was number two, and you know she's been playing well for Tulsa. I mean, she was playing this season in the WNBL because the whole Olympics and all that stuff, she wanted to play locally so that way she could train longer with the national team squad and that, but I think she was going over to go back to play for Tulsa this upcoming season and that.
Yeah.
So yeah, just during the Olympic season, she will play locally instead of in the WNBA. So yeah, and, you know, and she threw down that great dunk against Russia in the Olympics and all that stuff. So you know, that was a good driving dunk down the lane. And I know Brittany Griner's done that baseline one the other week and all that. So she's gonna have that potential and all that stuff. So it'll be good. Can Candace Parker still dunk since she's given birth and all that? Like, well, since she had her baby?
I'm not sure. I must admit, I don't follow the WNBA that closely, but I'm guessing she probably can.
Yeah. I know she had some problems with her knees as leading up to it, lightly, which before the pregnancy. So I don't know. I haven't seen too much in whether she can still throw it down. She had that reputation and back in, it was the high school dunk contest, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
That she threw down those dunks. And,
I'm hoping she didn't dunk during her pregnancy.
No.
That's good. That's very good. That's a wise approach.
But, so she had that reputation before she got drafted about being able to dunk and all that stuff. I really pray for her. Well, I'm not going to use that. I shouldn't use that because I'm not religious. But I really hope that she wouldn't be that gimmick effect for the NBA if she ended up being drafted. But if she does get drafted, and does,
all
the best.
All power to her,
it'll be historic moment. That's for sure. So. It'll be interesting to see what happens in July.
Yes. Well, speaking of the getting back to what's going on at the moment, we talked about the Heat's winning streak ending by my Bulls. Just throw it out there again. But they're back to their winning ways right now.
They did lose yesterday against the Knicks, but again,
that's true. They had won a couple of games before that,
yep.
And without without two of their big three.
Yep, or even the fact that they've rested Chalmers as well. I mean, that he's one of the bigger players at the moment. He's still one of the younger guys, but he's starting to get...
Of starting point guard,
I mean, and, you know, they had that big upset. Well, I suppose it was an upset game against the Spurs because they're out.
It's in San Antonio. Ginobili was out, but they still had Duncan and Parker and everyone else.
So, yeah, and it was Bosch that hit that three at the end to win it, so that was cool.
And that's good for Bosch. We were talking a little bit about this before we started recording this evening. Bosch is, fair enough, definitely number three in the big three, but tends to get a bit overlooked, I think. I mean, not get it the respect he should, because he does make a contribution.
Yeah.
And you look at going back to the Eastern Conference Finals last year and the NBA Finals, but certainly when he returned in Game 6 of the Eastern Finals, that swung the series right back to Miami's favor, because they were on the ropes down 3-2. The Celtics missed an opportunity to close that one out in Game 6 in Boston, and it very easily could have been the Celtics and the Thunder in the finals last year, but Bosch's return really lifted them, and he's been, and once here he is hitting another game-winning three. So, you know, where's the respect for Mr. Bosch?
You got to respect. I mean, even though it was in Toronto, and that guy has scored, had 40-point games before in his career. You know,
he's a legitimate player. Yeah. They called it a big three because it was three stars coming together. Admittedly, LeBron is establishing himself as one of the greatest ever. I do not think he has surpassed Jordan, as many people have suggested. That's ridiculous. He is really, really good. It's not a knock on LeBron. Michael Jordan was just that good. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
But LeBron is his own. Yeah. LeBron is LeBron. Wade, former Finals MVP, really good player too. But Bosch, still a perennial All-Star and a really good player. And you can see it, the way he steps up when the others are out. The thing is, when the three of them come together, there has to be sacrifices, and obviously his numbers are down because you've got two other guys putting up big numbers. So, yeah, it's good for Bosch, and I guess he's always going to be sort of the Zoidberg of the trio, shall we say.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a good way.
Let me put it this way. Some of the Zoidberg episodes of Futurama are the absolute funniest.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, don't sleep on Bosch, people, because he's... But it's good, and they've, you know, to beat the Spurs in San Antonio, even on a last-second three. And admittedly, the Spurs probably didn't play their best game, only scored the 86 points. The one thing that does stand out to me, though, that does go in San Antonio's favor, is they out-rebounded the Heat 49-33 in that game. So if the shots were falling... If the shots are falling for the Thunder, they're dangerous as well. But if the shots were falling for Duncan and Parker, and because I think they both were about 6 of 15 or something rather pedestrian by their standards, if they're scoring their 100 points a game and out-rebounding teams like that, they're going to be difficult to beat if the Heat and the Spurs end up meeting in the finals, which could happen if it's not the Thunder again. So, it's a bad loss for the Spurs in a way. You know, the prime opportunity to blow the Heat out of the water without their two best players. But if there's a positive that they can take away, they did really beat them on the boards. And if the shots are falling, then, you know, that's the way to beat Miami, because Miami's not a great rebounding team. Even better with the Birdman, but if you can beat them on the boards and in the hustle and play them physically, then you've got the chance. But as the Bulls showed, there that is again. But it's basically, you know, they won 27 games in a row. They've managed to win some games, a couple of games, rather respectively, without their two of their big three. They're really dangerous heading into the playoffs. You know, they've got to be the favorites to repeat.
Oh yeah, I think.
And I know you're upset about that, you know.
I'm devastated.
Yeah, devastated. How terrible.
You know, oh, no, what am I going to do? I got to celebrate another championship. No, but...
you look at the perspective of, like, an indie music band. You know, you can't go for the Heat now because they're winning. Yeah.
It's too uncool to go for them.
Well, actually, you can't go for the Bobcats because, you know, Michael Jordan's popular.
Yeah.
So who do you go for? You can't go for the Thunder because they were stolen from Seattle. Can't go for the Spurs because they're quote-unquote boring.
Or old.
Old. Hmm. So who's the chic team to go for? Maybe the Warriors? Perhaps?
I don't know. Is the hype train still there from the 06 We Believe?
Oh, yes, yes.
Or was it 05? Trying to remember when it coincided with NBA Live sort of bringing in that sort of atmosphere. I think it was 05 because I think it was more in 06 when that...
2007 was the last time they made the playoffs.
Okay, so I was wrong on that. Sorry. So yeah.
But, yeah.
Let's see. Steve, who else is there?
To go for. See the Kings. Well, the Kings again could become the Sonics again. Yeah. So that. Eric Evans.
I don't know. But the Kings had Vlade. They had C Webb, and they've had. White chocolate.
You know what? I'm gonna say the Blazers. I'm gonna say the Blazers because Portland hipster central. That's the way to go. If you want to be hip, go for the Blazers.
Yeah. I'd follow that. Oh, I already like the Blazers anyway. So.
I do have a good team. Yeah, it's unfortunate that a few injuries and whatnot have knocked them out. They were doing all right early.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a player to keep an eye on, so yeah, the Blazers draft well when it comes to guards. Brandon Roy's injuries accepted, but yeah, big men, no.
No, this is definitely an Achilles heel for them. Again, no pun intended.
If you're a big man and you get drafted by the Blazers, request a trade. That's all we're saying. Because your career is going down the toilet. It's You will break something. Something will snap, is all we're saying.
Be like hoping for like a Kobe Vlade deal sort of going on draft day. Please, please, please. Doesn't happen. No!
Beat France that's demanding a trade from the Grizzlies of the day. So I guess that's going to do it for the NBA discussion this week. Once again, go Bulls. That was fantastic. And sorry, Ben.
That's all right. It was a good game.
Go back and watch it if you haven't seen it.
I even stated on the podcast before, you know, 27 wins. I'm not going to be upset if we lose the next game. So, and that's basically what happened. So, I can't complain. We're in a good position at the moment. So, obviously being number one in the East and that. So, I'm not going to lose my head about it. So, I'm just looking forward to the playoffs, even though. It's only like 2 weeks away, isn't it?
Yep, just 2 weeks. We're in the final stretch of the regular season.
That's going to be fun.
As long as we don't... It's just when we see the teams tanking and we're going to see the bench warmers play, which is actually kind of fun in its own right, I suppose.
Yeah, get to see the potential up-and-coming talent. Have a few moments to shine.
It reminds me, I was watching a Mavericks game years ago. It was when... what's his name? Pavel... Podolkazine or something was in the
league.
Sounds
like some medication.
It's some 7-footer, 7-foot white guy who, yeah, was in the league because he was big, I think. But certainly didn't have a very long stay, pretty much in the league for a couple of cups of coffee. But he got the start and actually had probably his best game in the pros because everyone else was just resting before the playoffs. But it's kind of interesting to see some of those games as the season winds down. You just get to see these players that haven't really got a run all year. You're like, oh, well, so that's... Oh, he's actually got some talent. Sometimes. Other times, like, well, that's why he's on the end of the bench.
Yes.
If anyone wants to complain about that... The reason I'm recording a podcast about video games is because I'm not good enough to play in the NBA. So,
not in reality, anyway. Virtually, yes.
Yes, my player. Yeah, is a finals MVP. My real self is not. But that's the funny thing when people say, pull out that argument on the internet and say, well, you do better. And, well, we're not, I'm not comparing an NBA player to myself. I'm comparing him to his peers. But it is fun to see those last few games of the regular season and some of the wacky things that happen, whereas everyone's looking forward to the playoffs and stop caring about the regular season if the especially when they're out or the seed has been decided or they're out of the playoffs. It's you get to see some funny things going on. So catch that and for all the funny goings on and the playoff race in the West, of course, and we'll see how that turns out. But I'm picking the Lakers to make it. I think they're going to hold on. I don't know about you.
I'm still hopeful at two games. I'm trying to be consistent in that they miss it by two games.
Okay.
But yeah, who knows? If their conspiracy theories gods are proven to be right, then they'll probably get in by two games.
Yeah. Well, moving on to from the pros to the college ranks, March Madness. Well, it's now April, but the college tournament kicks off, March Madness, of course, and is coming to an end shortly. That's going on, but the big news the last couple of days is the incident at Rutgers with now former head coach Mike Rice. And I know you saw the video before we started recording.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. It's like...
It's terrible. It's for those who haven't seen it. Mike Rice, former coach of Rutgers basketball team. The video emerged of him just abusing his players, berating them, using all kinds of terrible language and homophobic slurs and whatnot, and
kicking them and pegging balls at their head or their feet. Grabbing them by the collars and basically shoving them in their positions, and that, yeah, it was terrible.
Stepping over the line of what is acceptable. I mean, naturally, and I don't think many. I think if most people say, well, you know, you've got to be tough, because these are people mostly who are being groomed for the NBA. So you're trying to be stern and firm as a coach, but this is way beyond anything that's acceptable from a coach, and it really was disgraceful. But he has been terminated now. But the interesting thing about the story is that Eric Murdoch, former NBA player, who has one of the best highlights, just to segue from it, has one of the best highlights I've ever seen in an NBA game, where he's running out of bounds and flicks it backwards over his shoulder and it swishes. Look it up on YouTube, Eric Murdoch, miracle shot. But he was hired by the university to be an assistant coach or director of personnel or some title on Mike Rice's staff, and he brought it to the attention of the university president and the other officials.
And this was back in 2010, wasn't it?
No, 2012.
Okay.
It was about 6 or 7 months ago that it was brought up, and he was apparently Rice was apparently suspended for three games, if I recall correctly. But Murdoch was fired over the whole thing, and he was the one who brought this atrocity to the attention. So he's currently suing for wrongful dismissal.
Jeez.
I didn't
read up on that part properly, or listen to that part properly. I was more just disturbed by the footage, and I thought there was reports of this kind of stuff happening back in 2010. Like, that's just when I first thought it was brought up and all that stuff, but no one reacted.
It might have been, but I know Murdoch went to them last year, and that's what I've read. I say I know, like I've got some insider knowledge. From all the SportsCenter that I've been watching, where they've talked about it and reading up on it, Murdoch went to them last year and said, with the video, and said, look, this is what's happened, and slap on the wrist at the time, and then Murdoch ended up getting terminated over the whole thing. Snitching, I suppose, which is ridiculous, because this is something that absolutely needed to be reported to the higher-ups.
Exactly.
So he's currently pursuing his legal options there. But the video has just been made public, and it took the video going public to get Mike Rice fired. And you know, you don't want to say, oh, people don't deserve to work. It's not a great economy right now, and whatnot. So you never ask for someone's job lightly. But when you do that, you definitely have wandered into grounds where you should not be coaching. You should not have that job.
Sent straight to anger management classes.
Should have been terminated a long time ago, and it's disturbing that it willing to let it go. That's what it doesn't make the university look good at all. They've taken the right steps now. Good on them for actually doing it, but it does disturb me because it's such a disgraceful incident. If you haven't seen the footage, check it out. It's a sight to behold to see a coach doing it. It's almost like a parody, like a Bobby Knight parody or something. I mean, Bobby Knight never quite went this far, I don't think. But, it's disappointing for a university to have covered it up like that or tried to sweep it under the rug and that it took it going public. I'm glad it did. I mean, it's great that this actually...
It definitely needs to be seen,
But it's a shame it took it to that. And one of the reasons, I mean, obviously it's a big story, but one of the other reasons I thought it'd be great for us to talk about is you've mentioned before that you've coached players before high school, I believe.
Yes, I've coached our students at Brisbane State High from 2004 to 2007. And I've coached some guys that have gone into play in the NCAA. You got Washington State's Brock Mottram. He's one of the key examples of players that I've got to coach. I coached him for about 2 or 3 years. He's doing really well over there, so I'm happy for him. There's a couple other guys that I've coached here that have also gone over to the US. There's Heath, who's playing for Utah. There's another kid that I got to coach. He went over. I think he was, again, similar situation in the Utah, Washington area. But I've also coached a couple of guys that have played in our national teams, like in our under 16s, 18s, and under 21s national teams as well, and two guys that have played in the NBL, which is our national league. So,
You've got the experience with coaching, and so as you said before, I was monologuing a bit, obviously.
But
it's just not on.
Upon seeing that, one thing I wanted to bring up with that is the reason why I took up coaching was because I had not quite as dramatic incident as what these college kids have had, but what happened to me and my teammates back in 98, you know, we had an awards night dinner for our season and that, and eventually, it was only, for our team, there was only me and my best mate there. The other guys hadn't showed up, but what was made this thing bad was our coach publicly humiliated our team by saying that, you know, we're a bunch of losers in front of the entire basketball community in this school. Me and my best mate, we could not keep our head up during this whole time that we were standing up there for these 2 minutes while he has torn into us and while we had to wait and get all these award things handed out and that. And I actually got to accept the trophy during that season, but I wasn't happy taking it. Like, it was like I wanted to sort of throw it at my coach, to be honest.
Yeah.
What happened?
That stuff really ruins your enjoyment.
You know,
again?
And to be honest, this coach that we had, he was terrible. Like, we didn't learn anything from him. There was no set structure in play. There was no motivation to play for him in a lot of ways, and especially after what he said to us in front of this school, and that was like, well, that's hurtful. And what actually happened was two other coaches who were at this dinner, who were coaching another team, I think they were coaching the year below us, because we were in the Opens, which is 16, 17s, and 18-year-olds at the time, because it was in our final 2 years. You know, they were disgusted by this, and they put their hands up straight away to take the coaching role for this team. And so the following year, we got these two guys, and man, it was such a difference. We actually learnt a lot from these guys. They coached us well. They were fun as well. Like, we had a lot of joking around and all that stuff. And
yeah.
And at the following year's award dinner, you know, may mention that, you know, we're the greatest bunch of guys and all that stuff, which helped lift our spirits and that, especially after what happened that previous year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they took a stab because they said, you know, we were here last year and we felt bad for these guys because of what they were publicly criticized about. And you've got to tell you, he was so wrong. And they humiliated him without mentioning his name and all that. So that was a nice, rewarding moment. And then from that, when I took up coaching, was like, I don't want that kind of thing to happen to guys that I want to coach and that. So I tried going the positive route. But seeing what this coach did, like, to these Rutiger kids, basically, yeah, he's violated them by mentally and physically abusing them. And the fact that the school was negligent by trying to hide it under the rug, come on, and only reacting once the
once they had to.
Yeah, when the footage and that became viral in a sense, and it's not a good look, you know.
No.
And as,
for recruiting players,
yeah,
I mean, how do you?
Yeah, you can't sell. You know, working playing under this coach is such a good thing when you're gonna freaking be scared for your life or being called horrible names for.
And he's gone now, but there's still that reputation that if there's problems at the university, we're going to ignore it. And we're not trying to slander Rutgers here. I mean, I'm sure they do. I mean, they're a reputable school in most respects, as far as I know, very well known and been around for a long time. But this was very poorly handled.
Yes.
And they're definitely going to do some damage control at this point. Firing him is not quite enough at this point.
It's going to be a few years before they could get the trust back, and I think at you know, as a coach, you want to get the best out of these players, not make them feel like absolute crap, and not just about themselves, but like to the point where they don't want to play for you. I mean,
yeah,
that give them reason not to want to get out of bed, in a sense. You want your team to be like disciplined and all that stuff, but there's surely better ways to do that. I mean, paying a ball at their head or feet or kicking them. Come on now, that's just stupid.
It's abuse. It's not teaching. Stamp your foot and say, look, come on, guys, you know, get serious.
Yeah.
A sharp tone, but no.
You know, if they're not paying attention and all that, yeah, you do some drill work where, you know,
run laps.
Yeah, laps or the term suicides, like up and down the court.
Yeah.
You know, you do things to sort of get them in line, because no one wants to run those suicide laps. So you do things like that. One thing that me and my assistant coach used to do, one method that we took was to try and give the guys confidence, especially the young point guards that are really small, confidence in trying to get to the basket and going on up against like a big man or like on that fast break situation. Instead of just doing the typical layup line drills during the warm-up, we'd actually play defense, and we'd actually play defense pretty hard against them.
Yeah.
And
my coach did the same.
Yeah.
It's good.
And the other thing, when it came down to us being on defense, or us being the coaches and that being on offense, and the players on defense and that, you know, we wouldn't go soft on them. You know, we'd attack the basket, and me and my assistant coach would actually dunk on the students and that. But and it was good fun, but it was a way to sort of bridge that fear, break that fear of going up against a bigger guy. So there was purpose aside from having the fun of dunking on a student and all that. It was, but it served a real purpose, taking out that fear. It's like, oh, I'm going to get scared of getting dunked on. Well, this is a way to break it, and it worked. You know, the kids reacted. They saw the challenge in trying to beat us to get in the way, so that way we'd only end up doing a layup or a hook shot or something like that and not get dunked on.
My coach used to make us do push-ups when we missed a shot, either in layups or in
the
scrimmages.
Yep.
And but if you got the offensive rebound and scored, you didn't have to do them.
Yep.
And or if in the scrimmage, if your teammate got the offensive rebound and scored, you know, you didn't have to do it. But if so that has you know, as well as getting to do a few push-ups and strengthening yourself that way, it was good to avoid doing the push-ups because the game wouldn't stop. The idea was that you had to drop and do the push-ups and then your team would be a man down. So the idea was to, you know, not miss shots.
That's a good way.
So it was quite a good way. And it also, the idea of not having to do push-ups, but being there for your teammate and crashing the offensive rebounds, the offensive boards, and putting the effort in as a team. So that was a very good technique. And he didn't stand over us and kick us or whip us or call us names or really hurtful names. We're just teenage kids at the time. So, yeah, you just can't imagine any coach in their right mind doing it. And maybe he's got some anger management issues. He's apparently seeking counseling for it, which he absolutely should have happened a lot earlier. Yeah. And that's good. It's good for him because the word that he's used in interviews, he's very been very apologetic and whatnot, as you'd expect. Although, again, it's after he's been caught out, and that's what I don't like. You know, are you sorry you got caught, or are you sorry for what you did?
Yeah.
The word that's come up a lot is regrettable, which is an apt word. But I love that word because it sort of deflects responsibility. You know, you really, you should come out and say, look, what I did was totally wrong. I have no excuse for that. You know, I'll put my hand up. I'm going to do something about it. But the word regrettable, and I think New Jersey governor, this not the governor of the university, but the governor of the state, Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah.
who's never one to shy away from controversial remarks himself, also used the word regrettable. And it is, but I kind of laugh at it because it's like it's such a soft term to use.
Exactly.
After this, it's like, you know,
I regrettably after being caught out publicly.
Yeah, it's just a funny term.
I finally see the error in my way, and I will go. Yeah.
I regret doing that. I regret acting like a total ass to in this. You know, not. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. And the other thing is, people have I've seen it discussed on SportsCenter and whatnot. Other players apparently didn't speak up in the defense of their fellow players, and
they were probably fearing that they would
exactly thinking that's exactly right. It's there's the no snitching mentality, which I understand, but in a situation like this, is not healthy. I mean, if there's any time to put your hand up and say, look, there is something wrong here, you know, I don't want to compare it to history's atrocities. Because we invoke Godwin's law, and you know, eventually somebody brings up Hitler, and we're not, you know, let's not use hyperbole. But throughout history, and even our day-to-day lives, bad things happen when other people sit idly by because it's not happening to me. You know, I'm bullying at schools, any kind of bullying between students. You know, it's someone else's problem, so I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be a snitch, and it's a problem, and. And certainly intimidation is a factor here, like you said. So I'm just glad that it's come out into the open. When John posted that in the forum, I was just disgusted, you know, to see that footage. No call for that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's I really feel for those students. Like, there's no way that they should accept that kind of behavior from someone that's supposed to be a mentoring factor. You know, that's essentially their role. They're supposed to be mentoring and teaching them the way of the game and how to prove their game and prime them for
the
next step. Yeah, exactly. You know,
to be decent adults.
Yeah, I tried when I was coaching. I tried having fun. You know, let them have a bit of fun side to the training, but also had put the foot down. But you don't. You never cross that line of. What?
Yeah.
So, if he gets charged criminally, for what he did, I think that's a good thing. Like,
it wouldn't surprise me. Maybe the statute of limitations. It's too late to press charges. I'm not sure, but I can't imagine another coaching job anytime soon, and that would just be ridiculous.
And from what I understand, that there was like many hours of footage, and that from over the years of him doing this.
Yeah, we saw a snippet.
Yeah.
That's what's been, or even if that was just the only thing that's been captured, that's just a small sampling.
Yeah.
And if that was the only time he did it, that was still so far over the line. And that was, well, clearly from different practices. So it's not just happened once. It wasn't just one blow-off at a practice once. This is clips taken from many practices. Yeah. So.
You know, calling a kid a fairy boy and an even stronger word after straight after it, you can't do that. You just can't. And
the throwing the ball, yeah, at their head and whatnot, it's definitely some anger management problems there, and hopefully he gets the help he needs to be a better functioning and happier human being. But at the moment, I don't think he should be anywhere near young people learning the game and trying to be groomed as professionals and whatnot. And I doubt he gets a job anytime soon.
No.
Not with, if ever again, with that. But
I don't expect him to be employed by a college in the next 5, maybe 10 years, depending how criminal people think of what he's done. So, yeah.
But fortunately, you know, I guess the story has a happy ending in so much as that he has been... action's been taken, it wasn't ideal, but, well... justice has been served, I guess, in a sense.
All the best to those students and that had suffered from that mistreatment from him.
Yeah.
So,
and hopefully the university can recover as well. And if there are a few people there that we're helping cover it up, hopefully
you get what's coming to you
as well. Maybe they also need to be given their walking papers.
Yeah, they should definitely be, like, if there is criminal. Like a criminal investigation or some way, like, to sort of get some form of closure from this, then those accountable who definitely tried hiding this under the rug, I hope they do get punished for what they did as well, like legally terms, not beaten up, but let's not resort to mob mentality. let the legal system do its work, and then
let them suffer the consequences.
Yes, exactly. You know, they shouldn't get away scot-free because of their negligence and their failure to act and respond.
Yeah. As you said, all the best to them, and I'm sure it's not the last we'll hear of it. But and if you haven't seen the footage, definitely check it out, and it's. Yeah, it's worth seeing just to see for the spectacle of it, really.
Yeah.
Just it, you know, and the fact that it does have a happy ending. That yeah, he got what was coming to him in the form of a dismissal. But I guess that pretty much wraps things up for that. Let's see, do you know who's playing in the final of the? Of course, the other. Big thing, the injury to Kevin Ware.
Oh, yes.
That was brutal. The his leg folded up like an accordion.
Yep.
Now, that, if you can stomach it, you can YouTube that as well. But woof.
I've been desensitized from it because I actually haven't experienced personally, but in a game that I was playing against, in the last minute of this game, this guy went up for a rebound, and he came back down, and all of a sudden you hear this loud sound, and you're like, it sounded like someone had just bounced the ball really hard on the ground, and everyone was confused by it. And we looked down, and this guy is on the ground screaming, and you see the bone going through his leg.
Yeah.
And like, this guy was about 6'10". He only jumps, like, maybe 6 to 8 inches high to grab this rebound.
Yeah. There was no Spud Webb leap.
No. And basically, yeah, he didn't land on anyone's feet. He just landed back on the ground normally, and it just... yeah, it just popped and shattered his leg. And from what I heard, this guy nearly lost his leg. And I've played against him since, and that. So it was good to see him back on the court. But it did take a few years in that. But still, it was horrific to see. And then to see this kid, he was essentially just going for a block, wasn't he, when he did it?
Yeah, he made a huge leap, and just came down. Badly on his leg, just well, badly is an understatement, but came down and sort of rolled it and it twisted up under him and, yeah, like I said, folded up like an accordion.
There's
very...
I just remembered about a clip that I seen in this, I think it was a French soccer game. This goalkeeper went to go kick the ball. It was like just sit the ground. He just put the ball down or something like that, or it was just barely moving. And he went to kick it, but he got more ground than anything, and then his shin just shattered on him. And yeah, it's similar type thing in that sense with the landing. So yeah, that was another thing I've seen where that kind of things happen. And yeah, it's pretty tough to take. You know.
There's very graphic pictures of the injury with the bone sticking through the leg, and I don't want to use the word funny because it's not particularly funny, especially not for Kevin Ware, but the Adidas logo on his socks is very prominently displayed, and the idea came to my mind that is just a terrible ad campaign for Adidas.
What was the slogan that they had on theirs? So no, Nike's ones, the Elite socks have different slogans for different teams, I think.
I just mean there's the picture's just there, the close-up of his leg and the shoe and the sock with the Adidas logo prominently displayed and the bones sticking out of the leg. It's like, yeah, that's not an ad campaign. Yeah.
And I think he was wearing the new Crazy Fast too, which is Adidas' new model shoe that they got like John Wall and that to endorse. And it's like,
you want to break other people's ankles.
Yeah, not your own.
not your own leg, yeah. But it's just looking at the bracket to answer the question I posed before, the semifinals, which is being played April 6th, so that would be Sunday our time. Louisville versus Wichita State and Michigan versus Syracuse. That's right. I remember Carmelo Anthony picking his Syracuse Orange men to go all the way. So the school pride is still there for Mr. Anthony, naturally. But I don't follow the college game as closely as the NBA game, I must admit. But from what I understand, everyone's brackets have just been busted this year. I think it was last year or the year before I got into it. We had a picking in the forum through Yahoo, I think it was.
The tiny pick'ems in that, yep.
Yeah, and I just pretty much picked at random, mostly picking the top seed, the highest seed, and didn't do too badly. I think I came last, but considering how badly I expected to do...
you did all right in the end.
Did all right, but yeah, it's the UCLA upset in the first round, Georgetown in the first round by the 15th seed. Yeah, so wow, it's
The Florida Gulf Coast did really well this year, which was, they caused some huge upsets, obviously with Georgetown and San Diego State.
Yeah,
and then Florida, the Gators and all that stuff. So. Florida beat them, that's right.
And then Florida lost to Michigan in the...
Yeah.
In that,
In that bracket. My team, North Carolina, didn't do well this year at all.
Yeah, I'm a Tar Heel fan myself by way of Michael Jordan. And, so what happened with them?
They lost to Kansas 70-58.
Was that the first round, or...?
A round of 32. So I think
so they got through. Yeah, lost to Kansas 70-58. Wow, that's right. I remember switching that game on when I was channel surfing. Wow. So yeah, I hope people didn't put too much money on the brackets on the tournament this year, because apparently a lot of people haven't done so well with their picks. And of course, we always do so well with our predictions.
Oh yeah.
So naturally, we judge everyone.
Well, I'm going to hope... hold on, let me just check something. Wichita State, who's their sponsor? I'm hoping that it's like a Nike or an Under Armour or something like that, basically because I don't want one of those ugly-ass Adidas-sleeved uniforms to win. I just don't want that campaign to succeed. So hopefully Syracuse, or if Wichita is a Nike college or something like that, then I'm hoping that they win it.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I'm just really disgusted with those uniforms, the sort of tiger camo, and then the sleeves. So wrong. Just so wrong.
No worries, man. You know, we'll support Mello on this one, perhaps.
Yes. Probably the only thing I'll support Mello on, although I'm actually wearing a Mello shirt right now. And I got the Mello USA jersey from so many years ago. It was one of the Reebok's last ones that they did.
Oh yes, the 2008.
The one with the sort of rocket style sort of collar, but has the little in between part with the star, and then the red stripe sort of down the side. So yeah, I got that jersey. So that's about the only Mello things that I got.
And NBA Live 2005.
Yes, that's right. The cover boy for that.
Yep.
Oh, and NBA Street Home Court.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens in the next podcast, depending when we record that next week. I guess we can touch on that. I don't mind a bit of college basketball. I might try and catch that the finals, just to see. But yeah, it's a shame North Carolina's not in it. Yeah. Go Tar Heels.
Yes, and just one more thing about this sort of Brittany Griner thing. I saw a comment from someone. You know, someone made the mention that, you know, she wouldn't sell tickets in some way. You know, but if they had Skylar Diggins, who is very very attractive, you know, she'd definitely sell more tickets.
Yeah.
But you know, I know there's that kind of the sleazy mentality that we have, and the sexism, I suppose. So.
Yeah, this is 2013, but there is still some of that. And women's sports do struggle to bring in the same ratings and money as men's sports. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. I still don't think she's going to get drafted. I could see her getting a tryout maybe.
Yeah.
After the draft and in training camp or whatnot, because that happened in. I read the article about her being possibly drafted with Cuban's remarks, and there was a woman had a female player who had a tryout in 1979. I can't remember the name. And it's so historically significant that I should, especially after reading it the other day. But wasn't Carol Blazkowski? No, it was someone else. But she had a tryout with the Pacers. Actually, was signed to a contract but cut during training camp. Never actually played in the NBA. But another one of those trivia questions. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Certainly, Cuban's comments stirred up some debate, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's true.
Which he's one to do.
Yeah, he's definitely not shy of sparking controversy or general chatter.
League record for fines levied against an owner. Yeah. At this point. Yeah.
Has he been fined much this year?
I think he's kept fairly quiet this year. I don't think there's a lot for him to say with the Mavericks not doing so well.
Charities will be so disappointed in him this year.
Yes.
Because he has a habit of, when he gets fined, he also donates that amount to charities as well. So it's been a lean year for charities this year.
He's just going to have to make the donations without the controversy.
Yes. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he makes up for it in any way. It's like, I'm sorry that I was so well behaved this year. Here's $1 million.
That's right. Yeah, the apology is to the charities.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was well behaved. I guess that does now wrap up our basketball discussion for the week. And we've talked about our basketball games before. Actually, there's one other note. I was just looking back through what was on the docket. Ronnie 2K tweeted that he had a meeting with the NBA 2K insider about improving roster updates for next year.
Yeah, it's simple. Actually, do a proper roster update, an accurate one.
Not much to say about that, but that was interesting that he mentioned that, and I saw a few responses to that tweet that were pretty much along those lines. Bit people rolling their eyes at that, but anyway, I just got a complete roster update out, so I'm one up on the insider, as we said before.
Well done.
Right. And I don't even get paid to do it, so
that's true.
There you go. I am legend. But the big clash is some other genres.
Status has just been upgraded to legendary mode.
Wait for it.
Wait.
So moving on from basketball and basketball video games to some other news as of late. Disney has shut down LucasArts.
Yes. They hit us with some good news with a sequel to Finding Nemo, and then the next day they crush our hearts with announcing that LucasArts Games is no longer. So for those who are wondering why that was sort of important, and that is because they're actually going to look at releasing their first mature game, Star Wars 1313, which was a true next-gen title and looked really impressive from the footage that we saw at E3 last year. And just to cut this game off and then a couple other ones that they had in full development mode where they were basically probably getting close to winding up, just so they could focus on the Star Wars episode or Star Wars movies that are coming out in 2015. And it's like, so sad to hear by it. I know whether they do sell the rights to other studios to
finish them off, yeah, and develop. Yeah. Which, I mean, you've got people who have put in a lot of time.
Exactly. And you know,
an effort.
And not to mention the amount of money spent to get the engines and then obviously the staff and all that developed. I mean, I think it was about 150 staff or something like that that were let go. So I don't know. I was really looking forward to seeing how Star Wars 1313 turned out. I mean, for me, I've played a couple of the Battlefront games, and then also the Force Unleashed series. You know, Force Unleashed 1 was pretty good. You know, that was a decent game, considering that they were trying to use three basically physics-based engines and all that in one. And then they said they retained 80% of the staff for the sequel, but the sequel felt broken. There was a lot of glitches. And
was that the one Obsidian did, or is that Knights of the Old Republic?
No, that was Knights of the Republic. It was still it was still the LucasArts team that was developing it.
All right.
In fact, they did lose one of the key guys that had been with LucasArts, who was particularly with regards to the comics and all that stuff. He did end up leaving the studio in that fairly early, or probably about midway through the development process, after a new CEO was appointed for the games division and that. And I think there was a lot of tension with that staff member, because he was the original creator, one of the key original creators for the Force Unleashed and all that. So it was his project, but I think there was a lot of I think the suits wanted the game to go one way and he wanted the game to go another way. I think another guy had left with him and a couple others as well. Two of them, including this head guy that created, they created their own studio. Try and remember what it's called, but I haven't heard too much of them. So whether they try and pick up the license, who knows if they're still around, if they're still working on projects. I was admittedly disappointed with Force Unleashed 2, but this 1313 looked potentially really promising. So here's hoping someone gets it, please. So it'd be interesting to see a final product of it.
Yeah. No, and for all the people that have worked on it and put all their time in and spent so much energy and effort on it, it's disappointing. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly know in the NBA Live community about games being cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
But in a situation like this, where it's been made after the acquisition of LucasArts and Lucasfilm by Disney, hopefully they can do something with it. I haven't played the Star Wars games, but back in the day, I was a big fan, and still am. I like to pull them out from time to time. of the old LucasArts adventure games.
Yep.
Cinemax Hit the Road, Day of the Tentacle, Maniac Mansion, Monkey Island, of course, by Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer.
Did Monkey Island 2 come out, or was that one... Because they were working on that as well as an Indiana Jones game, but...
4 Monkey Island games came out in the 90s, or I think one was 2000, 2001, Escape from Monkey Island, the fourth one. And they were going to do a fifth one at one point, as well as a sequel to Full Throttle, another great one, and a Sam & Max game. Telltale Games have been doing the Monkey Island series.
I think
Tales of Monkey Island, yeah.
I think they announced they weren't going to work on one today, I think, from memory. I'll just double-check that, or yesterday or something.
But it's kind of good that we got the Tales of Monkey Island to continue that saga, and they did a fantastic job with the Sam & Max games. Very very entertaining, and in the spirit of the original and the comic, as I understand it. I haven't really seen much of the comic, but I did see the animated series of Sam & Max. classic characters, in my view, there. But the games are really good, and so it was... It was good that Telltale was able to pick up the slack when LucasArts pretty much decided not to do any of the adventure games and just went strictly to Star Wars titles, which of course now they're not doing either. But yeah, it was kind of sad to see it. I mean, it happens. I mean, THQ went out of business after 20-something years as well.
And they actually had THQ's Brisbane studios closed down, and I actually used to work just directly across the road. From there. I was working at Spring Hill, and I was working at a print and design shop for about 2.5-3 years. And yeah, they shut down not too long ago. And I was like, so that was disappointing. And we've also just had, a couple of years ago, we had Chrome Studios, another major Brisbane one. And, you know, they were working on the PS2 and versions of that of Force Unleashed and Force Unleashed 2. Like, they were originally started working on that Force Unleashed 2, but then LucasArts pulled the rights and gave that game to someone else, or they discontinued that version of it. Can't remember exactly, but some of the Chrome Studio staff leaked some concept art from that game not long after. So it didn't show too much. It just showed a little bit of the levels and all that stuff. So. But most of it was already had sort of seen some way. But a lot of those guys that worked at Chrome end up working on Happy Feet 2, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We've also had EA Pandemic close in my city. That was a few years ago as well. And just today it was announced that Sega Australia, again in my city, was just shut down. So... Sad to see so many gaming studios close down.
The big names.
Yeah.
I
mean, we did also have Team Bondi, and that, after all what happened with the situation with
L.A. Noir.
Yeah, L.A. Noir. But someone's given them life again, and they're working on that game that I mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast, The Horror of the Orient, which is a next gen title. And that one looks impressive, even though screenshots only bring a release to that. And, it's a sad time, but we're seeing some revival. Half Brick Studios, the games that do Jetpack Joyride, Fruit Ninja, and they got a new one coming out too that they announced this week that just passed. So that's again a Brisbane studio, and they're doing really well. But I didn't want to apply for a mobile type game shooter, because I play them, but I'm not say I'm particularly fussed on working on them, so
yeah,
I want to work on PC and console based stuff, so but
sort of the big really
triple A sort of title stuff, not little fun in a pocket sort of entertainment, so yeah, big budget stuff I want to work on.
So no Angry Birds for you, or would be, we'll have to do an Australian version of Angry Brews.
Yeah, or a koala-based one. And
yeah, Drop Bears.
Yeah, and basically their health meter is the staying awake lifespan, in a sense. So you've got to do this combo attack thing before they fall asleep.
Is Bundaberg going to get in on this, the advertising campaign?
I could definitely do it that way, yeah. Alcohol-infused drop bears, yeah.
Yeah. Won't it all be controversial?
Well, we got that R rating now, so let's use and abuse it.
That's right, that's right. Let's have all the Mortal Kombats.
Yes. And some of the other games that were disallowed back in the day.
Yeah, well, we've finally grown up as a nation and realised that, you can put the mature rating on these things and the R rating, and adults will get them.
Yes.
And, like we've said, if you're worried about things that are only for adults getting into the hands of children, you've got to outlaw cigarettes and alcohol, and I don't think the tobacco or alcohol industries are going to play along with that one. So, but what do we know? We're just mindless gamers who commit acts of violence, you know. I was out driving today and just suddenly went into a Grand Theft Auto. so, you know, just can't tell you how many people I ran over. But it's okay. I picked up a police bribe and, you know, because that's the way it works. We think that games are real life. Lobbyists. Anyway, we're all about positivity on the podcast.
Yes.
And we do get excited about the new generation of consoles. I actually posted a top five things holding my Friday Five for today. We're recording this on Friday this week. Just posted my Friday Five top five things holding back basketball video games. Not to get back too much into basketball video games, but I always mentioned the technology is one of the limiting factors. And obviously not just basketball games. But we do have a new generation of consoles coming out, as I'm sure everyone's aware and we've talked about before on the podcast. And once again, there's a little bit of news.
Yes.
On the PS4.
Yeah, and we also have some news on the next Xbox, we'll call it.
A very interesting quote in that respect.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with that one, because that one, we can rant about that, then we can gush over the PS4 to be a bit more positive to finish on.
Yes, all right. Well, so some news about, not just about the controller, but also about a little bit more about the system and what you can expect from it. IGN actually posted up a little article after being at GDC, and they got a little bit information off Sony. Basically, it's sort of like 10 things you didn't know about the PS4. The first one is the PSN friend limit is increasing. It's gone up from 100. They haven't said how much at this stage that the current friend list has gone up to, but...
110.
Is it? That whole 10% increase.
101. See, yeah. If you're 101, it's over 100, you see.
Yeah, they decided to go the Disney route with, like, the 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, 101 friends. Yeah. Really, who needs more than 101 friends?
Exactly. I mean, it's not Facebook.
Yeah, 5,000 friend limit or whatever.
Yeah. But they're still... And the number two point is basically a very large hard drive in every console.
Definitely welcome news.
Yes. So it suggests that maybe there's 1 or 2 terabytes minimum, I reckon. If they go less than 2 terabytes, I think they could be shooting themselves in the foot, in a way.
Are they doing games installed to the hard drive, like the new Xbox is supposed to be?
Nope.
No. Optional. I mean, I know that the Xbox is supposed to be doing... It's definitely that apparently we're going to have to install them, but there's not even going to be the option to do it on...
You could probably do it. I mean, you can do it with PS3 games, or you can install it onto the hard drives.
Oh, okay.
But, and you know, because people are doing tests to sort of see if it ran faster off the Blu-ray or if it ran...
Yes, that's hard drive. Right, yeah.
But at the moment, there's not too much details in that, but yeah, it suggests that it should be a little minimum. I'm expecting a minimum of 2 terabytes. And one thing with the PS3, it's actually easy to take out the hard drive, replace a new one. It's actually in their user manual, so that was a good thing about the PS3. You know, you can buy a laptop hard drive, partition it a certain way, and it's pretty sweet. You go. So even if you bought like the 12 gig ones that are out now, you could buy a 2.5-inch hard drive at like a 750 gig or 1 terabyte one, depending on one. Or if you get the 750 gig hybrid drives that, or sort of a cross between a solid state, just buy a solid state hard drive and plug that in. So
just pick it up off eBay,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one great thing about the PS3, and it had that ability. One thing I noticed with the Xbox 360, you had to buy a a sort of proprietary made one for it. That was
dedicated. It's a Xbox hard drive.
Yeah, and it was very much a locked system. And from what I've understood as well, the way it communicated with the hard drive as well, it sort of recognized if you were using a certain type one or something like that. I think from memory, from what I had a discussion with a friend when he tried upgrading his ones and stuff. So, I think that was one downside. Whether we find out what Xbox are going to do with theirs as well. Point number three for the buttons with the PS4 DualShock 4 is apparently they're going to be digital buttons. So
pressure sensitive.
Yeah. So you'll be able to recognize obviously how hard you're pressing the button, and obviously in different games, like whether you be running or shooting or jumping and stuff like that, it might determine a different speed or a variation in how high you jump or something like that, you know. So it'd be interesting to see what developers use with this now, like how they'll incorporate it into their games, the ability to do such things a lot easier, especially in a sporting title, you know.
Oh yeah,
you know, if you want to sprint, you know, you might be able to get a different sprint speeds and all that stuff instead of just going normal to hard out. You might be able to control it a lot easier or something like that, or even going for a steal, you know, a harder press signifies
a swipe, yeah, like a hard swipe, yeah, for them, yeah.
Or a gentle tap sort of suggests
a bit of a poke in, yeah, to, yeah, just to try and knock it loose, yeah.
And just sort of delay the offensive player a few seconds from attempting to pass or attempting to shoot, so it sort of throws them off, so it's a little bit of a chess game in that sense.
Because right now you've basically got tap or hold,
yeah,
is your only option.
Yeah. Apparently, the PS4's controllers will also charge when the console is actually sleeping in sleep mode. So that's a pretty cool way. A little good tidbit about it. I didn't realize that the console or the controllers didn't charge already. And apparently, there's going to be a headset in every box when you buy a PlayStation 4.
Less peripherals to buy?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. You know, they're not going the Apple route where you have to basically buy freaking everything from like a cable to a plug to a charger.
$50 for a USB cable.
Yeah.
But it's the best damn cable in the world. Yeah. It's got an Apple logo on it.
Works with nothing else. So, yeah, that, and I think the PS4i, so the little camera as well, which is a fairly pretty respectable, decent camera on it as well. It's better than the current Kinect, and I think possibly rumored Kinect 2 version from what I remember from the spec sheet I saw on that from their 2010 to 2015 roadmap. I'll have to relook at that and see what it had on theirs, whether it's something similar. Obviously, we kind of already knew about the your real names on the PSN. The recording is mandatory. Like, it's something that developers don't have to worry about. It's already built into the system, so they don't have to incorporate tools in their games to actually cater for it, which is great.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely developers, we have more time to play, just to focus on the gameplay and stuff like that. Remote play upgrades, it's been around for a while. Just sort of reading what it says here just before I mention it.
It's a Vita. Looks like it's a Vita tie-in.
Yeah, so I think the...
It's not mandatory,
yeah.
But it's a cool feature, being able to mirror the... Yeah.
I have been interested in getting a PS Vita for a while, and I think after seeing, especially after the PS4 announcement and hearing some of the details since then of what the PS Vita can do, and with collaboration with the PS4, I'm definitely more inclined to get it. But again, I'll probably be waiting until closer to the time, and just so that the games library builds up as well for it. It's still sort of relatively new, but Definitely keen on getting it, that's for sure. We all know that the colours of the new backlights on the controllers and that, they signify a player number. Player 1 will always be blue, player 2 red, player 3 green, player 4 pink, which is the colour schemes of the circle, triangle, square, X button on the PS4 or PS3 or PlayStation's controllers history. But also the light bar can be used to display muzzle flashes from your gun, health, and so on. So it serves a little multi-purpose sort of thing as well, so that's pretty cool.
So yeah, there's 10 very nifty features that are there. And I've, as I said, I have an Xbox 360, well, way up both consoles when they come out. If the next Xbox has backwards compatibility, that might tip me a little bit so I can still play the games without pulling out the 360. Yep. But, I mean, I'm not a fanboy by any stretch of the imagination. I left that behind in the 90s. That was fun, Nintendo vs. Sega. The old Nintendo magazine system, NMS, here in Australia, our official Nintendo magazine, people sending in every month pictures of Sonic the Hedgehog getting roasted by Mario or something, and that was fun. And, you know, Nintendo, we won. So that was nice. But, yeah, I left that behind in the 90s. And I'll see. But so far, it really does seem like Sony is... I know Microsoft is still... they're making it this month, aren't they? The
rumored date is April 26th.
Yeah, well, we've only got sort of leaks so far.
But I think if they don't announce something by the end of next week, then I think they'll probably be shooting themselves in the foot, because you want to give people, the public, time to get ready for it, and 1 week maybe cutting it a bit soon. So
yeah.
I definitely think if we don't hear anything by the end of next week, I think Microsoft could be in a bit of trouble.
The information that's leaked has not been...
positive, no.
That positive either. And in fact, their creative director has actually addressed that in the worst possible way, mocking gamers who have got concerns about it, about the always-on DRM. And we've spoken about that before in previous podcasts and how much we really don't like the idea. Absolutely the wrong way to address it, his comments.
Yeah. Again, IGN have managed to... NeoGAF have saved all these tweets, because basically they've sort of been hit.
Deleted or made private.
Yeah, but you can check it on IGN, and he's basically telling the people, the community, to deal with it. One of the other ones that was sort of interesting is, sometimes the electricity goes out, I will not purchase a vacuum cleaner. So he's being smug in a lot of ways. The mobile reception in the area I live in is spotty and unreliable. I will not buy a mobile phone. He's basically taking the piss out of the community who...
And missing the point entirely.
Yes. but he does say, sorry for expressing my personal opinion about what I want from an electronic device that I pay for on Twitter. And then he ends it with Jesus. I think that was more of just like a sort of like a
sarcastic, sarcastic apology of about the whole thing. Well, you missed the point.
Yeah. The other sort of cue that he goes through is those people should definitely get with the times and get with the internet. It's awesome. I want every device to always be on. And obviously the deal with it one is the picture of Obama on the phone, and it's sort of got like a comical sort of smoke reaction to it. And yet in the sort of meme sort of format, deal with it in big bold white text. So yeah, poor approach in that case, because the DRM rumors seem to be true. In fact, one of the things that I saw today, there seems to be a limit. Like if you get disconnected, I think it's up at this current stage from some of the developers. Or the unknown sources is, or unnamed sources, I should say, is that a 3-minute period is allowed before the sort of game reacts and all that stuff. So it has like a internal timer.
Bit of a fail safe, just in case.
Yeah.
Disruption. Yeah.
So.
Which is nice, but it's still there. It still means that if you're having problems with your internet on any particular day, you can't play a single player game that you've paid money for.
Yep.
And if he's trying to address that, I mean, to address some of those remarks, starting off with the mobile phone one. So the mobile reception in the area I live in is spotty and unreliable. I'm not buying a mobile phone. Oh, you might buy a phone, but you won't go with that provider.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's like Vodafone, you know, here, isn't it? Vodafone, Vodafone is getting a lot of heat from customers and all that because of their poor infrastructure in regards to reception and that. So, and there's like a class action suit against them for memory. Just for them to pick up their game instead of just sponsoring cricket events.
Yeah. Sometimes electricity goes out, I will not purchase a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, well, it's a smart ass thing to say, I suppose. But that's different. I mean, there's no reason for a single player to have to be logged in and joined a network to play offline. He might have had an argument, but he went about it in the worst possible way and made the company look bad.
Yep. One interesting note, like, how long ago did I send you this link? It was been about just over the 2.5 hour mark, wasn't it?
We're almost at the year.
And basically on IGN, since I posted Andrew this link and since I last refreshed the page and that, there's been like 334 new comments in that from people. There was already quite a few. There was already 950 comments, on it in regards to this. So I'm going to be reading through that because some of the comments are actually quite funny.
It's definitely not appeased.
No,
it's not allayed anyone's concerns. Here's one. Sith Lord Venom, shout out to you if you're listening. Wait, aren't we the consumers? Without us, you will sink. Can you deal with that? Yeah, there's a lot of "can you deal with it" comments, and people taking the Mickey and everything, and it's brought that on yourself. It's
And there's like ones like people regarding their wallets. You know, my wallet's talking. Going to go for the PS4 now, and other people sort of join in, and even the iconic threesome suggestive idea and all that stuff, because their wallets have something in common, and so they should go on dates.
Let's go on a date. Yeah.
So I love reading the fun little banter, but if all this always on thing is true, and the other one with the having to install, all games have to be installed, then
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
so much.
I suppose that one's not so bad, but I think the always on.
The always on.
That's going to be frustrating for a lot of people. At the moment, Sony's popping the champagne at this stage, I'd say. Because at this current stage, I think they've exceeded expectations in a lot of ways, and they've seen. And from all those reports that we've talked about in the past podcast with developers saying how much easier it is to work with them at the moment, from what I understood earlier in the game with the 360s and the PS3s, Microsoft was the one to work with because it seemed to be a lot easier. But I think Microsoft has changed their strategy methods and all that, and I think a lot of developers might walk away if that's the case. Because it doesn't seem as restrictive or as money grabbing in some ways from developers, and that you basically have to pay to subscribe or things like that. And whereas Sony's just seem to be come on board. Here's our tools. Here's our thing. Here's our services and connection. Put your products up there. We're happy to help. Sort of thing. So,
from the consumer's point of view, it's like we said in previous podcasts. These are the little things that will turn people away.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all things considered, both next generation consoles are going to be powerful. Games are going to look great. They're going to have some really nice games on them. But which console do you get the game for? Exclusives aside, which console do you go for? These are the things to make up your mind.
Yeah.
And it absolutely, it's just, why would you say that? Maybe you might snark about it to your fellow employees or something.
But you don't go public.
Yeah, it did not, it didn't do them any favors. Nope. It's not going to win anyone over. And
let's just say that Microsoft may have just had their little Rutgers moment just there.
They threw a ball at someone's head.
Yes. Next line, calling someone a fairy boy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll hopefully find out April 26th. That's the rumored date that's been around for a while, whether that's what's to happen, that when Microsoft will announce their stuff. But I don't know. The fact that there hasn't been any form of denial from some of these rumors and all that, and just basically from what we experience now is a confirmation with regards to some of the more negative rumors is... Okay.
It's confirmation without confirming it.
Yeah.
Deafening silence, damning evidence sort of thing. It's, confirming it without saying anything. And silence speaking volumes, basically. It's, by not denying it, they're not confirming it, but by not denying it, they pretty much might be. And certainly a comment like that. And even if he's just trolling, there's no reason to do that, because that just makes him look stupid and turns people against them unnecessarily. So.
Smug and naive, and it'd be bad PR. There'd be no way they'd be wanting that kind of thing.
Yeah, not at all.
So I guess we'll see. We'll play the waiting game.
I think
Microsoft better announce something by the end of next week of when this date for their announcement's going to be, and I think. If it's not done by next week, I think they're going to hurt themselves with that. Just continue momentum that Sony have done. It's been all praise and all positive from them, and just they seem to have got their act together and look like they've got the right direction planned at the moment. So.
Well, in Microsoft's defense, they're doing a great job promoting Sony.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, helping a brother out.
Yeah, that's right. You know, this is all very friendly competition now, you see.
So, yeah.
But we will see. We'll see. It's an exciting, another exciting year for gamers, seeing what the new technology's going to be, and a new brand new console war with the PC on the side, snarking at everyone.
Yep. Although, I think people will make up their mind, because Sony's press conference is usually the last one at E3, isn't it?
Oh, possibly. I can't remember.
Well, Nintendo's already got their system out, so it wouldn't matter. But, yeah, Microsoft is usually...
Less than a moment of silence for the Wii U.
Yes. May you rest in peace. Does it have, like, a Red Ring of Death situation for itself or anything like that? Did it have a notorious way of failing and all that stuff? Like,
I think it just plays the Mario game over music, but
and then sort of the fainting, the sort of fading screen with the princess, Princess Peach, and all that stuff, just sort of going no.
It's pretty, but very depressing.
It'd be good to see Nintendo become relevant again. I know they got their niche, but I don't think the Wii U's gone.
I wouldn't say they're irrelevant, but certainly as far as competing with perhaps the hardcore gamer and such. And the Wii U is high def and whatnot, but
it still seems like it's a step or two behind.
Yeah, as far as processing power and whatnot. As far as the motion controls and everything, no one's done it better. Yeah.
But what's also interesting in regards to the Wii U is both DICE and EA and the Unreal Engine 4 won't work. Well, the Frostbite 3 and the Unreal Engine 4 won't work on the Wii U.
Okay, so a lot of companies, I'm guessing, are not going to do anything much more with the Wii U.
So
not long after its launch. I mean, it hasn't been. When was it? November last year.
October, November, depending which part as well. But
I was going to say it's the biggest flop because Nintendo did have the Virtual Boy in the 90s, but it didn't really recapture the success of the original Wii or any of its previous consoles, particularly the three that came in the 80s and 90s, the the NES, the SNES, and the 64.
Yeah. I think the Wii U died at E3 with the Nintendo Land presentation at the press conference.
Yeah.
That was a terrible press conference. Like it was laughable and pretty embarrassing from what I've seen. I know there's been always you're gonna get some funny moments that are just what the hell kind of thing. Like that was it, that caffeine induced dude that I can't remember which company he was representing in that.
Was it Konami?
It may have been. But yeah, he was like high wired on freaking V drinks or Red Bull and coffee at one time. It was like, yeah, no. This is not how you're going to try and attract people to buy your product. I don't know. Nintendo One for me, just when it launched and all that, I was like, wow, this is nothing at all. I was expecting so much more. You know, they didn't really show anything about the console. They just showed some occasional demos and rehashed games that would already been out for like six to eight months or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, that's not what you want to do. So you want to come out strong with new content aside from Pikmin 3. That was really about it. And Zombie U or whatever it was. But yeah, I know it's sad. I don't know. Just, you know, you remember the days where Sega and Nintendo were fighting it out. So this is like the second wave now with Microsoft and Sony and that. So it'd be
we are heading into console war 3.
Yes. What was it? Atari and who else was there back in the day?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, Atari had all lots of consoles. The 2600 being the classic one. They had a couple of failed ones in the. The 90s, the Philips CDI came along, yeah. The 3DO, and then PlayStation came along just sort of towards the end of the Sega Nintendo battle.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, you had the Atari, the Intellivision, and the ColecoVision.
Yeah,
and a bunch of Pong consoles.
Yeah, and then the Commodore 64.
Oh, yes.
I used to have one of those.
Oh, with a floppy disk, the 5.25-inch real true floppy disks and everything. Yeah.
Or wasn't it a tape player?
The 64, yeah, Commodore 64 had the tape player as well, yeah.
What an interesting way to play a game from a freaking cassette tape.
Yeah, we've certainly come a long way with our optical media. And
I remember a rowing game. That was one of the only ones that I really remember playing on that when I was a kid. I just moved back up to Brisbane. Because I lived in Melbourne for 3 years and that between the ages of 1 to 4. And then, yeah, getting the Commodore 64. And then I think I had about 3 or 4 games on it. But the rowing one is the one that I remember most that played. Yeah, and it was good to see a nostalgic version of it, a next-gen version of it come out. It was actually quite cool, and it had the look of it still within it. But it had, like, Intel i5 processors and all that stuff inside, so it was pretty cool.
The intro of Grand Theft Auto Vice City actually starts up like an old Commodore 64 typing in the Go, you know, the character interface,
yep.
Loading commands, and then going through all the lines like it's loading off a tape and everything. It's because of course that's set in 1986, so it was. Nice little flashback, and you actually picked up like the floppy disks to save the game in the save points. So yeah, let's just throw it out there. The console, you know, we've Sony's thrown out a lot of stuff. Microsoft's going to throw out a lot of stuff in the coming months, no doubt. But whichever console comes out with a tape add-on, that's going to be the one that wins Console War 3.
Oh yeah. You know? And here I was thinking it, like, with Sony ending their press conference with Naughty Dog's PS4 title, because they always tend to end with a Naughty Dog, or they'll start it off just to get really the people's attention.
Yeah.
So, and I think that was when people were going
to... It's going to be the tape player.
Yeah.
Because it's all retro these days, you know.
Well,
the vinyls have come back with DJs and whatnot, so... Yeah, that's what's going to come back in games, tapes. Or perhaps not.
Although you think Sony would be all over that because of the Sony Walkman.
Of course.
So that plays in their favour.
Yeah, so it's going to be the Sony Game Man or something.
Yeah.
that's how we're going to guess how we're going to bring Pac-Man to the new console.
Awesome.
We've been going for about 2.5 hours now, which is about our limit, so I guess we can wrap this baby up. So I think we've done an okay job.
I think we have. I don't think we steered off too off topic and didn't have too big a monologues each. Yeah, sorry, left us. Had to throw that jab in there.
Yeah, but we've taken our shots, but we do love Leftos. We wish him well as he's tending to these matters. As we said, he isn't actually he hasn't been kidnapped as far as we're aware. I haven't spoken to him for a couple of days, but we're hoping everything is okay. Because you know, I don't know if the ad revenue on the site can really cover the ransom.
We really need to look into advertising having advertisements within the actual threads themselves and
we'll have time to raise some money. Leftos doesn't really need his left ear, I'm sure. but we're hoping to have him back. Maybe not next week because he's still doing his studies and whatnot. And hopefully the week after, and perhaps he might be able to regale us with some adventures of what he's been doing in academia and whatnot. and we can talk more about the NBL and just really, really annoy him.
About dunks.
Yeah, more dunks.
A three-hour dunk session.
All the redunculous dunks that the dunkers have been dunking this week. Dunks. So I hope you enjoyed it, and we hope Leftos enjoyed it too, listening to a podcast that he's not on for once, and breaking his AC Green-like streak of consecutive pods. That was episode number 24 of the NLC podcast. If you enjoyed it and you're listening on iTunes, hit subscribe, once again, if you're into that kind of thing. It's making that into a running gag.
No pressure.
Or keep streaming it on the NLSC, nba-live.com. We are on social media. Follow us at the NLSC on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We've also got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center, a Google Plus page. If you're one of the few people still using Google Plus, it's hasn't quite taken off the way Facebook and everything has, but the link is very hard to remember, so just click the click that button at the top of the page. I can't, because it's long, it's not handy, and there's no vanity URL like the others, so get on that Google. But follow us on all our social networks, keep it locked to nba-live.com, the forums. Let us know what you think of the episode and everything we talked about. And we'll be coming at you with a new episode soon. So thanks for listening, and we'll sign out. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arkane.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.